go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of May, 2023, the final Friday of May, 2023. We've got three more programs after this, and then, hey, we'll be in June, and summer will be just scant days away. I do love the summer solstice. I just absolutely do. Longest day of the year. I've always thought that I'd love to see it, you know, in one of the Scandinavian countries or way up in the far north of Canudlia. It would be something spectacular to behold. Yeah. Why am I even talking about that? Hi, I'm Robin. It is Friday on the front porch here on the Horn, and in about 55 minutes or so, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree where we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather every Friday for some conversational merriment, see what's on people's minds. Program note, I hate to say it, but, well, it's one of those solidarity moments. Of all the rotten, shitty things to do, the city government of Charleston, West Virginia, is welcoming Dave Chappelle, that misogynistic, transphobic piece of garbage, to the state capitol for a performance so that he can make some money off of queer backs, queer and trans backs. So I have been asked to attend a protest outside the venue, and I'm inclined to join my brothers and sisters and non-binary siblings down there, because silence is acceptance, y'all, you know. So that will be the final, that's May the 31st, that's Wednesday, but okay, let's just do a quick gut check on my determination. It depends on the weather. I'm sorry. It also depends on a couple of other things that are swirling in our lives here. Because quite frankly, I may have to... I may have to miss a couple of programs simply because, well, my beloved daughter-in-law had a family member pass away, and she is the executor of the estate, and we're probably going to have to go and probate his will. And that's down in Tennessee. So that'll be a sketchy proposition for me. But I want to be as supportive of her as I possibly can. So at some point I have to take them down there. And I'll be gone probably at least one program's worth. Hopefully not more, but possibly. So I'll beg your kind indulgence. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so we say a kind thank you to our 26th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And that means thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Emilio, and thanks as well, very kindly, to Brandon. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. The fundraising goal, for catching up is $1,878. Ouch. That is six entirely unfunded days, all of this week and last Friday. And $78 of last Thursday. Who's asking, is it Friday? It is Friday, yes. So, if we could, I guess we're in search of a genuine, bona fide, Friday on the front porch, Horn community-made miracle in a desperate attempt to finish out the finish out the month, taken all together, assuming I'm here on Wednesday. Let's see. The finish the month number is 2778. Sorry, I'm deciphering on the fly, but it just went down. Billable Rick just jumped in and said, here's the $23 I owe you, plus interest. So that's, we are now down to 18. Oh dear, here we go again. 1851. Just had to calculate the interest in there. Thank you, Billable. I really appreciate that. That's really kind of you. As to the weather, it depends upon the weather. Well, you know, thanks for the sour persimmons, Brother Usher Steve. It depends on the weather. Of course it does. When you're an old lady, everything depends on the weather. Old lady, he says. But I guess I am. So, I don't know. The lady part's up for debate. Old woman. You're right, Ralphs. Lassie, go get the sheriff. Robin's down the well again. Two people making this observation. Scott in San Diego and our buddy John in Central PA. Scott got in first with, since there's no Horn program on Saturday, I'm a day early with this. Henry Kissinger turns 100 tomorrow. Evil, I suppose, is a preservative. Well, if you knew where you were going when you died, you'd be dead and knew that it was not going to be fun. You too would do everything in your power to remain on this on the above the ground side of the planet. Because there's going to be a welcoming committee for Henry Kissinger in hell, the likes of which few others have ever experienced. John said, tomorrow's Henry Kissinger's birthday, and boy, is it a big one. Fucking 100 years old. 100 fucking years old. I know. It's enough to make you believe. It's enough to make you wish you could believe in an afterlife, isn't it? Because we as human beings do have a retributive streak, and somehow a whole bunch of Laotians and Cambodians and Chileans and Argentinians and Hondurans and Nicaraguans and Guatemalans and El Salvadorans, people all over the planet, yeah, well, they've got claims on him. You know what I mean? Oh, I know. Emilio with me ciphering. A little emoji of an abacus. Don't forget to carry the one, Robin. The one? Hell, I got to carry the 12. I started looking out the window watching telephone poles go by at the rate of 4 to the 7th power. I put 2 and 2 together and added 5 and carried 12 and come up with 22,000 telephone poles an hour. Yeah. The things that live on my brain cells. So, it is Friday on the front porch, and there's some stuff I want to, y'all are off and running in the chat. Is it Friday? Jeremy says all day for another 7 hours here. All day. Twice on Sunday. Kissinger in hell. Steve says, rumor has it God and Lucifer are actually splitting the cost of building a 10th circle. Coffee breaks over, Hank. Back on your head. Steve adds, on another note, I've put on my bucket list to go to the North Pole and the South Pole, at least for the South Pole. I need to figure out how to foot the $15,000 to $59,900 bill. There only seem to be tours, and I really don't want to do that with a bunch of people, but I'm also not keen on taking a trip to either pole all by my lonesome, since even experienced people don't fare too well. Yeah, there was a great play. I worked on it back in college. About the Robert Falcon Scott expedition. It's the name of the play is Terra Nova. And Robert Falcon Scott was one of those terribly, terribly, terribly proper and decent Englishmen, and he refused to use sled dogs because he, by God, was not going to eat a dog, not even to get to the South Pole fast. Roald Amundsen was in competition with him. Roald Amundsen got there before him. Roald Amundsen had dogs, and they ate their dogs, and they survived and came back to worldwide acclaim. Meanwhile, Robert Falcon Scott and his crew froze to death and never made it home. But they didn't eat dog! PETA would be so proud. Oh, Robin, don't start. It was a week ago that I started off the program asking who had ratted me out to PETA. And then the interweb tubes died. I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole again. Oh hell no. Scott in San Diego, Henry the K's reception in hell. He'll be met by a molten brass band, I'm sure. I guess if you're a demon, you can play a molten trumpet or a molten tuba. A molten oompa band, Scott. Let's workshop this one a little bit. Hey, Charlene. Charlene in Rogues Island, subject line challenge. I'm offering a $125 challenge, and when met, I'll add $50. So, wow, that's fantastic. So that would so if we can meet, it's a doubling challenge. $125 winds up netting us $300. That's a whole day's worth of programming. That would cover all of last Friday. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much, Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. And Charlene says, best from Rogues Island, where all the out-of-state people are showing up en masse for the official opening of the beaches. Oh, I bet it's beautiful up there, though. One of these days, I'd like to be one of those out-of-state people who come up for the opening of the beaches. Hey. At least it's safer for people like me up there. I'd love that. So, if we could get right on that, that would be wonderful. And that would reduce the deficit significantly. Meanwhile, Matt, make the dink pay challenge. Double income, no kids. Oh, but you—that's not fair, Matt. That you've got Ferdinand and Imelda, and Those are two of the most adorable children I've ever seen. Matt says, $100 challenge. If met, I'll throw another $100 challenge. And if met, I'll throw another $100 on the table. So double your money up to $300, y'all. That would get it done, get us done with Monday. And that would reduce things down to the $1,200 neighborhood. That would be fantastic. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. So we don't have days like this very often. And when we do, it's good to take advantage of them. Stephen New York says, I love the summer solstice. Days start getting shorter after that. Yeah, that's what actually, the summer solstice is one of my favorite days of the year. And the day after the summer solstice is one of, well, I start grieving. I know Darlene in Connecticut can hear me. I know she knows what that feeling feels like. The next day is a few minutes shorter, and the next day is a few minutes shorter. You can't really tell June the 21st or 22nd or whatever. But they are. And the next thing you know, you're lighting candles and cursing the darkness. Because I've always felt like I could walk and chew gum at the same time where the dark days of the year are concerned. Yeah. But Flagstag and not Pole, Frazzleak and Blue, winter's coming! And it's really hard to get people to comprehend why you are the way you are when you're sitting... When you're sitting out in the sunshine on the day after the solstice, going, we'll all be freezing soon. You know that, right? I'm a mess. Listen, there was something that. So we've got. Oh my gracious sakes alive! Lots and lots and lots of challenges on the table. The Dink challenge. The here come the out of state. Party goers, beach goers challenge, courtesy of Charlene. An anonymous individual has said, "I'll find a way to cover the $300 match somehow." So that would cover Charlene's. Here come the out of staters to Rhode Island's beaches challenge. Thank you, kind anonymous friend. Look, I wanted to get the evening started with. It's something we talked about briefly yesterday, because I got to delve a little more deeply into it today. I mentioned yesterday the really strange, really bad, really awful, really terrible decision that gutted the ability of the Environmental Protection Agency to do its job and, well, protect the environment. Yeah, that was the Sackett case, Sackett versus EPA, in which wetlands were redefined by the Supreme Court as wetlands are wetlands and can be protected by the EPA as long as they are attached to a greater body of water, but not if they're adjacent to it. I'm trying to figure out how that is not a distinction without a difference. But today, in the course of my reading, I read one of the concurrences, because it was, nominally, it was a unanimous decision. But in effect, the upshot of it is that by a 5-4 vote, five complete assholes, you know, old Balls and Strikes and Ann's Boy Neil and Sammy Bad Breath and Fappy and the Handmaid, decided that the waters of the United States are not worth protecting from polluters and poisoners and destroyers. Well, the thing is, there's a concurrence in the case. And that concurrence was authored by Har Har's Man Friday, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can, Fappy Thomas. And And what a Lulu it is. I mean, it's nasty. Oh, and thank you to Emilio and Chris. Emilio's in Florida. Chris is in Washington State. Chris said, thanks, Robin, for all you do. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for making it possible to do. And so we are working on the first 100 of the Dink Challenge now. Our anonymous friend having said they would cover Charlene's challenge. Now, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not engaging in hyperbole when I say that when I read what Fappy wrote in his concurrence, and bear in mind, a concurrence does not have the force of law. It's just how he thinks things should be. And how he thinks things should be are really terrifying. Remember when he wrote the concurrence in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health last summer, when everyone capable of pregnancy in this country was automatically and with the stroke of several pens reduced to something less than second class status in this country? You remember how the dissent in that case said, from the moment of fertilization, a woman in this country has no rights to speak of. And it remains one of the truest statements of the court in recent memory. Well, that was the dissent. Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas, and we didn't even know at that point in time that he'd been bought and paid for by Har Har Crow. And you know, I suppose there are those out there who think that we're being unfairly tough on Har Har. But the fact of the matter is, Har Har got all of his money by winning the Lucky Sperm Club. It's all inherited from his daddy, Trammell Crow. I remember back when I lived in Atlanta having a very dear friend who worked for Trammell Crow in their Atlanta offices. She basically sold apartments over in the Vinings area. They were nice enough. Back then, Trammell Crow was putting up great big yuppie apartment complexes everywhere they could. That was Trammell Crow. His son, Har Har, inherited all of his wealth upon Trammell's shuffling off this here mortal coil. And seems to be suffused with a real sense of privilege. But, like I said, last summer, when he authored his concurrence in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, we had no idea. We knew that Fappy was a pervert. And we knew that he was a sexual abuser, a sexual harasser. That's part of his name, Pubes on the Coke Can. You can look it up. I've done it. I've gone over it on air before. But what we didn't know is that he was on the take, that he was bought and paid for, and that Har Har Crow had the bill of sale. Well, in the concurrence in Dobbs, he used that concurrence to call for a relitigation before the Supreme Court of every case whose rationale and basis relied upon what is known as substantive due process. Planned Parenthood, Griswold versus Connecticut, relies on substantive due process. So too does Loving versus Virginia, which made it possible for Fappy and Jinsurrectionists to live in wedded bliss. Lawrence v. Texas relies upon substantive due process. There's another one that comes to mind. Bostock. Bostock relies on substantive due process. So in essence, Fappy was saying back last summer that he wanted to overturn all the rights that affected people who, or conveyed rights to people who were not cisgender, heterosexual, white, and Christian, except for the one that gave him a special right. It was obnoxious, but it's also terrifying. I say all that as preface to the idea that, y'all, he's done it again. This concurrence in Sackett is a nightmare. And we learn precisely what Fappy's nightmare vision for America is, and it is a fascist hellscape wearing libertarian drag. What do I mean by that? His concurrence in Sackett would wipe out child labor laws. And that's kind of a fetish among maggots these days. Oh, bastards are sitting around eating food and playing outside and not earning their keep. Let's put them back in the mines! And you know, it wasn't that long ago. Annette's daddy, and he was born in 1915. Annette's daddy was what was called a trapper in the coal mines. By 1925, he was working in the mines and, you know, being as how he was a kid and smaller, his job would be to open the trap doors as the mule-drawn coal car was on rails. He came out and above ground to go and be weighed and dumped and back in again. And that's what he did. And he came home grimy and filthy every day of his life. My dad first went into the mines when he was in high school. And when I hear child labor, that's one of the things I think about. But of course, children were used for labor here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. In all manner of industry, textile work comes to mind. Anything where a child could be useful, a child was put to work. So now, you know, Jethreen Bodine, the maggot governor of Arkansas, who thinks that all the conservatives in California are moving to her state, you know, her welfare state, her taker state. Well, she decided, along with the Arkansas legislature, maggots, that child labor laws were oppressive to the job creators. And other states are moving that way as well. like I said, a franchisee of the McDonald's Corporation in Kentucky was found to be working 10-year-olds in a McDonald's restaurant. They were heavily fined. But those fines would be impossible under FAPI's concurrence in Sackett. No more child labor laws. The minimum wage would go away under his interpretation of the Constitution in the concurrence in Sackett. Bans on workplace discrimination, the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, would just blow away like fog and wind. Remember the story from yesterday's program about the EEOC suing the Culver's franchisee for years and years and years of discrimination, degradation, humiliation, and abuse of an African-American gay man who had been there longer than almost anybody on the 45-person staff? The EEOC would not be able to do a damn thing about it. His interpretation in Sackett would also eliminate the right to unionize. The Fair Labor Standards Act. Bye-bye. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And if there's a Republican president who takes office in January of 2025, and then there is a vacancy on the court, you can rest assured someone more to the mold of Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas will be at the top of the toxic list that is generated by the Federalist Society. It's horrid. By the way, if you're wondering if he wrote this and there was no one else to sign off on it, no, that's not the case. Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch signed off on it too. Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch, who is sitting in the seat that should be occupied by, everybody, one, two, three, Merrick Garland. The terrifying part of that is that we know that there are two people on the court. By the way, have I mentioned lately, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas should be impeached and removed from his office. Supreme Court justices serve a lifetime appointment on good behavior, taking bribes is not, I shouldn't even have to say this out loud, good behavior. And he goes so far as to say out loud what it is he wants to disassemble, what he wants to destroy. He hates the New Deal era conceptions of Congress's commerce power. He thinks that Congress has no power to set up a regulatory scheme for anything. Because he participates and is a primary proponent of the legalistic fraud that is originalism, which we have destroyed repeatedly on this program. He thinks the only thing that Congress can do of a regulatory nature is to keep keep waterways open and free from any obstruction to their navigation. And there are two votes for that idea. All they have to do is bring three more on board. And we already know, I mean, the Sackett case itself was an attack on the EPA's power to regulate. But this would be, and I think there's another one in the pipeline, the one that had to do with fishermen having to pay the salary of having an inspector aboard the boat that has the power to gut a lot of it. Because the, you know, during the Roosevelt era, Franklin, not Theo. Hi, Theo, if you're there. They read, the court read the Commerce Clause, and the Congress read the Commerce Clause of the Constitution to give Congress broad powers to try to maintain some degree of sanity and order within the economy of the United States and the relations between the several states. It's terrifying, and I just wanted to bring that to our attention. Because it's a pretty clear indication between that and the and Fappy's concurrence in Dobbs of just the, precisely the degree of vandalism that they that people like Fappy and Ann's boy Neil have in store for this country. And they do it with this sort of bloodless, it's only, tell Michael I always liked him, it was only business, godfather approach to the Constitution. That's how we should, you know, that's how we should really understand originalism. I mean, it's nothing personal. The Constitution just won't let you do it. I mean, the framers didn't think of it, so nobody else can ever think of it either. I mean, it's no big deal. And they will smile, and they will smile, or they will sit dispassionately by while they slit the throats of countless Americans, or poison them, or let them die in mines and factories and meat packing plants. Children have been found working there too, cleaning equipment that in a second could kill them or deprive them of various limbs. Yeah. We are making progress on the on Matt in San Francisco's Make the Dink Pay Challenge. That is down to the first $100 is now down to 20, courtesy of Micah. She said, from Micah with love, let's kickstart that challenge, shall we? Do let's. So the first $100 is taken care of, or except for $20. No, except for, wait a minute, $6. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Micah. Thank you so very much. Oh, that sounds lovely. Claire across the pond says, as you're talking about the summer solstice, I thought I'd let you know. I'm off to visit my sister and her partner in Norway on the 31st of May for 12 days, so we'll probably miss all your shows within that period. We'll be staying in their small ramshackle cabin on the south coast. Total paradise, but internet very hit and miss. And definitely the actual solstice, of course. However, the whole of June is amazing there, nights getting shorter and days longer with a very special kind of light. I remember people talking with such awe and loving of that endless light when I traveled in Arctic Norway and the longing they had for it during their long dark winters up there. So I concur. I too suffer a real sense of loss the day past solstice. In fact, I do not wish for it to arrive because it's gone so soon. But come it will, so I will enjoy its coming from now on. Much love. Thank you, Claire. Yeah, I don't feel like such an oddity, knowing that I'm not the only one who gets that way. I think I have a profound addiction to light and warmth. And thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. So the first $100 of the Make the Dink Pay Challenge has been met. Now we'll go to work on the next one. Thank y'all. We can knock out a third of between Charlene's challenge and Matt's challenge. We can knock out a third of the deficit that we entered this program in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Randy Radar said, isn't there some adage about being judged by the company you keep? Apply that to Justice Breyer, who keeps on appearing on talk shows. Well, he's not on the court anymore, so I guess he's free to do that. But there's a full-on PR blitz on to try to soften the entirely corrupt image of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I hope we keep the pressure on. Because if there, as I have said before, a Tinkerbell aspect to constitutional governance in this case, you've got to believe in it for it to survive. At this point in time, the Supreme Court Tinkerbell is coughing up blood on the stoop. And it doesn't have to be that way. As to your trip, Claire, Randy Radar suggests you visit the Doomsday Vault. We may need it. Is that the seed bank? I hope they keep the lights on there. It's seeds. Maybe it should be in the dark. I don't know. And one more member of the Solstice Club. Yep, Darlene's there. She heard me. Eek! Yeah, when we hit June 21st and start losing light, I'm like, wait! We just got here! Can't we have the longest day keep recycling for about a month or two before the Sunset Clark starts cycling back down? But my little voice responds, well then, Darlene, move to Iceland if you want daylight stretching into 11:30 p.m. So move to an even colder climate. P.S. Notwithstanding the ice and cold, I would love to visit Iceland to experience its pristine beauty, amazing people, and incredible mythology. Maybe even bump into an elf or two. About 85% of Icelanders believe they exist. By the way, I can fluently say the name of that volcano that blew its top many years ago and grounded airlines worldwide from flying. Price of admission? Lol. I remember learning to actually say that word. I just haven't seen it in a long time, so I'd probably have to do some lingual calisthenics to be able to say it again. It's a heck of a word. Probably means mountain of death or something like that. Let me see here. I have a request to check on something. Yes, it's funny. The notifications are coming through strangely. Our kind anonymous friend took care of Charlene's challenge. And so so that, wait a minute, now I'm getting lost. Yeah, our anonymous friend took care of Charlene's challenge with an entire Have a Show on Me. And so that was, because I'm messing this up in a hurry. So, and that's, wow, wait a minute. That's a big chunk of the, here's the bottom line. Both challenges are met. Both challenges are met, which is amazing. That is miraculous. 45 minutes into the program. So, Charlene's Here Come the Tourists to the Beaches challenge is met. And so, too, is Make the Dink Pay challenge. And that takes us down to a little more than, call it $1,200 to finish the week. And now my head is hurting. We in New York, stop it, Robin. Even though it includes math, you know that longest is unique, singular, one of a kind. There ain't gonna be more than one. You don't know how many stream names in America mean River of Death. Darlene is over on the stress line real quick. Hey, Darlene.
Hey, okay. La, 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 la. Hey, here we go. I don't know if that's how you remember it, but I... That's the name of the... And it means Island Mountain Glacier. That's how I learned it, in Iceland. Eyjafjallajökull. And it looks like it says all consonants.
It does.
Eyjafjallajökull. So, yeah. And maybe you learned it differently, but that's how I learned.
I have, sibilance. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Yes, that's a cook. So.
I'm looking at. I wanted to look at the word too. While you said it, and that yes.
Okay, go ahead. I'll say it again. It's just every once in a while I have to remind myself how to say it, but it's. I learned it as Eya Fiapla Ekuch. Island Mountain Glacier.
Eya Fiapla Yoko.
A very nice gentleman. Yeah. Yeah. Eya Fiapla
Ekuch. There's an umlaut over the O.
Yeah. So that's how I learned a very nice gentleman on YouTube. Went through the whole thing. I think it was like 15 minutes. Eya Fiapla Ekuch, something like that. I'm probably putting a rrr in there that it probably doesn't need, like Espanola, but yeah, that's how I learned it.
God, I love this program.
And, people, as I recall, everybody was having a hissy at Iceland. Like, they could control their volcanoes? People were like, this is Iceland, you're grounding our planes and everything. Okay, you want to fly up there and get a lot of ash in your jet engines and crash?
Suck some of that volcanic ash up and see how gravity works.
Yeah, why not get some of that volcanic ash in there? All right, yeah. So, beautiful country, beautiful nation, would love, beautiful people. One of my... high school, that we had two exchange students, one from Germany who I still communicate with today, and another was from Iceland. And, I am friends with her on Facebook. She mostly does her Icelandic language, but I reply in English. But if I had time, I would love to learn the language. I think it's a fascinating country, even though I am a lover of
warmth and light, darling. Warmth and light.
Warmth and light. Yeah, so I'm hoping to get soak up plenty of that over the weekend, but for some reason I'm just intrigued by the country of Iceland. The nation of Iceland is, I think, everything we wish this country could be in terms
of. Well,
I love their notion of
what democracy means.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's
absolutely.
And of course, we tend to think of it when we think of the Northern Lights and you know the Aurora Borealis. Mm-hmm. And, although, and this is crazy, the aurora was visible in West Virginia a few days ago, a few nights ago.
And in Connecticut a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I didn't have the opportunity to see it. But I guess it's due to the sun...
storms.
Flares,
yeah.
Solar flares and storms, pushing pushing that phenomenon further south.
And I wanted to mention something to you relative to the our mutual adoration of warmth and light. Just warmth and light, that phrase. I've been in a poetic frame of mind ever since I talked with Helene Fisher on Wednesday.
Oh, amazing!
Isn't she just wonderful?
Oh my God, wonderful, and just the way she can write things so beautifully and yet simply, and there's this deeper meaning, and I wish I had that. And you do. I mean, you have as well, because I've read your poetry, and I just you know, I'll sit with one concept and one thing for years, and I just can't make it work.
And
I know what I want.
And just gnaw on it like a bone. I know. Sometimes you have to get away from it. But one of the when you said warmth and light, I immediately thought of my very favorite poem. It's a poem by Robert Frost. The title alone has become sort of my watchword. Happiness makes up in height for what it lacks in length.
Mm.
Which is one of the truest things I have ever read.
Yeah.
And he says, "O stormy, stormy world, the days you were not swirled around with mist and cloud or wrapped as in a shroud, and the sun's brilliant ball was not in part or all obscured from mortal view, were days so very few I can but wonder whence I get the lasting sense of so much warmth and light."
Mm.
And that's the first sentence, the first entire sentence of that poem. And he goes on to say, "If my mistrust is right, it may be altogether from one day's perfect weather, when starting clear at dawn, the day swept clearly on to finish clear at eve. I verily believe my fair impression may be all from that one day. No shadow crossed but ours, as through its blazing flowers we went from house to wood for change of solitude." What a perfect little portrait. I mean, if an impressionist painter could paint a series of panels of exactly that, you know, Monet. I mean, as poetry goes, that's an impressionist painting. You know what I mean?
Yes. Isn't that amazing? How the skill of a Robert Frost being able to do something like that gives you that imagery. And, you know, as frustrating as I find poetry to be for myself, I think part of it is just reveling in the process, even though I don't like what is on the paper, and maybe I'm being too hard on it, and on myself, it keeps bringing me back to that, those feelings and, you know, something, for say, from my childhood, or an image, or, you know, like the beauty. I mean, one of the things I'm trying to write is called Rainbows in the Backyard. And I just love that concept, because inevitably, whenever we have the mix of rain and sunlight, inevitably there's rainbows in my backyard. And it's the most beautiful thing. And recently we had something where the rainbow, I think I emailed you. The rainbow was enormous.
It was gigantic.
It was so, it was like, and all the colors, and you could see it, and it was just, it was glorious. It looked like it was the thickest rainbow I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was just behind the tallest trees in the back. And I just, for some reason, it takes me back to when I was a little kid, growing up in my hometown. It had the most beautiful, I would say this town is about 20 minutes away, the actual town center, and I think has probably the most exquisite town green of any community I've ever seen in Connecticut. And there's this library. And by the way, is it library or library?
Oh, don't you even.
I just can't stand it. People, the smartest people on the planet keep saying library. Isn't there an R in there? Library? Librarian?
It's right up there with Chimbley.
Am I wrong?
Chimbley.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't know if there's such a thing as being libel or sexual abuse. That's
what?
Another thing. Can you be libel? You can be liable, but can you be libel? As in libel and defamation, slander, libel,
that was one of those drunken law school discussions. You can be liable for libel.
But can you be libel for sexual abuse? Libel?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you. Okay, phew, I thought I was going nuts because I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And she got away with saying that at the CNN so-called town hall. But I digress. But anyway, there is this beautiful, this library that is all grand. It's in, it's right off of the town green where I grew up. And it was one of the few things my mother allowed me to do as a little kid. We would go there for the summer. Probably she could unload us for a while. And they would do readings to us. As children, we would sit there at the library outside on the beautiful green grass. Everything was just, oh, my God, it was so magical. And, this lovely librarian would sit there on a chair and read all of the little children, all of us sitting cross-legged in the grass. She would read us a story. And this library building was shaped like a bow. So if you were to look at it from, say, from the air, it looked like a bow. And it was the coolest place. You'd go in there, and there were all these little nooks and crannies. And, it looked like the building had, turrets or towers on the outside. Kind of like these big, like Victorian bay kind of windows, or not like bay, but the Victorian homes have a big bay. They jut out in the rounded kind of half rotunda look. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the building was shaped like that. It was like a bow, shaped like a bow, built by a very wealthy woman whose husband made his money with none other than armaments and guns.
Yeah, of course.
And so he died, and she was left a very wealthy widow, and had this library built. It's called the Hotchkiss Library, and dedicated it as a public library to the town. And just the memories of sitting there. Below, outside, we were right next to one of those, imitation turrets on one of the bow ends. We would sit out there, and the librarian would read stories to us. And I just remember, you know, playing in the grass and listening and, oh, God, you know.
I know.
It was summer. It was one of the fondest memories as, you know, being a little kid. And, I don't know, the summer seemed a hell of a lot longer when I was a kid for some reason.
Because they subjectively were. Each day when you were a kid was a larger portion of your life than a day is now, mathematically.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Isn't it? Wow. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. Sitting out on the deck, we haven't had as many, I think, our weather, West Virginia and Connecticut were similar, but I think we trend on the colder side, the cooler side. It's been a cold spring, and when we can grab those, you know, 70 plus into the low 80s kind of days, I try to be outside as much as possible on the back deck, my terrace, as I call it. And I'm happier than a clam, and so I'm hoping to just be able to do that and just sit there and just absorb nature, listen to the birds, try to, you know, not get bitten by the rather aggressive hornets and wasps that are out there. But, I'm looking forward to this weekend. And I've been frustrated with this spring because I feel like every day is precious.
It's been sloppy, and when we had that one cold spell here that was like, damn it, stop it. By the way, I have a communique from Claire, who knows of which she speaks. She said, name practice, and Ayafyalayokul, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 Ayafyalayokuls there, and I've got something to do after the show, she added,
there's 10 Ayafyalayokuls.
Show off.
we'll have to have a competition and see who's right. Yeah, Ayafyalayokuls, there's 10 of them? Wow. Go ahead, yeah.
So, excuse me. Claire said,
it is a volcano.
Claire said, who won the pronunciation? I'd say Robin by a tiny fraction. It must be her knowing German, Icelandic, Old Norse, Old German, Modern German, but it was very close. I just don't know. I don't know if I could ever say a complete sentence. I think I'd just be exhausted by the time I got past Ayafyalayokul. But it's
I might be pronouncing it syllable by syllable. I'm not really saying it quickly, but yeah. Yeah.
And of course, native speakers speak it quickly, and it's like, huh? What?
And what is that? And then when you look at the word, oh my God, it goes on for miles and miles. Lots of L's and things like that.
Yeah, there's an E, there's an E, a Y, an A, and an O, and the rest is up to you.
Yeah. So how do you say it again?
Ayafyalayokul.
Okay. Ayafyalayokul. Okay. Okay. So I more or less, what gets me, the reason that I think of the Aya or Aya, I say Aya, Aya, and that's what, once I get that one down, that first couple of syllables, then I can say the rest of it. Now, if I don't think about it for 6 months,
got it. Well, I had to go back to it.
Yeah,
because I didn't look at it before I called it.
But I think it's just a wonderful nation, country, everything. And I find it one of the dream places.
You know what my search inquiry made it pop on? Terrifying Icelandic volcano.
Terrifying Icelandic. Yeah.
And there it was, Ayafyalayokul.
There it is, the first thing.
Darlene, only on this program.
would we be trying to speak Icelandic? Yeah.
I mean, I dare and defy anyway. Maybe there's like a, you know, there's that monkey working, like Scott talks about, there's that monkey working a math problem and getting it right chance in infinity that some other radio station is out there with a conversation going on about the proper pronunciation of Eyjafjallajökull. But I'd say those odds. I don't think you're going to find that next program until you get out somewhere around the orbit of Norblap 12.
Exactly. Only here, my friend, only here. But I'll let you go because I know you're going to start to go to the front porch. Fun doing the brief chat and talking Icelandic.
I loved it.
And just the contrast, you know, I am a lover of warmth and light and sun and summer, but I would jump at a chance to visit Iceland. So, all right, I'll let you go, and we'll chat soon.
All right, take care, Darlene. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too. I'm sure you're going to be grilling.
I am.
Barbecuing.
Yes, I am.
Whichever one is up there.
I saw ribs up at the Wiggling Pig today.
And
we've got a new barbecue joint here, and I tried their ribs, and they're not bad. I can do better.
Mm.
I'm kind of a snob about it at this point.
Stands to reason. You know, I hope you throw some pics on Facebook so we have at least we can, you know, vicariously smell and taste.
That's the other thing. It's a weekend, so therefore it was beautiful yesterday and it was beautiful today.
Yes.
Clouds tomorrow and rain on Sunday.
Damn. No! On your end?
Yes!
No.
Yes!
Oh, no!
And that has been every damned weekend.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to be blessed where, well, I'm not religious, but you know. I mean, non-religious, but I thought you were going to be blessed with the weather. We're supposed to have pretty great weather here, so, but I know there's a system swirling and probably, down, I think, by the Carolinas, so it might be impacting you.
Sunday is a 70.
And I think there's a high pressure, low pressure pumping out.
Sunday is a 70% chance of rain, and the high is only 61.
Ooh, that's cool.
For late spring, that's frigid.
Mm-hmm. That is, yes, it is.
But as has been the case for the last couple of weeks, I get to the middle of the week, you know, when I have to work. Beautiful, absolutely drop dead beautiful, cloudless days.
Of course.
Yeah, and all I want to do is just soak up sun, work on my freckles.
Right, I can't blame you. I mean, we're supposed to have. It was kind of chilly. Like, I really wanted to get back out there on the deck after I did my driving today.
Did you, girl? What?
Yes.
You got in Wanda the Honda and went for a ride.
I did. I hired on the down low or the QT. The one driving instructor from that program who I actually learned something from. And I am so much happier because she was excellent and she quit the program because it's totally, oh my gosh, there's a whole story with that and just how corrupt the program is. And believe it or not, there's a whole story. But I am loving it because she's like so cool and she's like, I'm not pressuring you. I'm not under the gun. We're not under the gun. You take your time. And I was the first time was last weekend. I hadn't been in that van in over a year and 3 months. And so we were driving around in the church parking lot. And then I said, that's it. And I went out onto the roads and she said, I knew you were going to last in this parking lot for that long. And it's awesome because she's so brilliant with teaching teaching me. Like, she does all of the points. She goes, you see that thing there on your dash and the reflection in your windshield? Make sure that that's lining up with the white line you're on the right, and you know where you're going, and make sure that this thing here is lining up with the yellow line. She's brilliant. And now she works for me. That's a reasonable price, at least for Connecticut. And because she works for me, you know, I can get an actual, you know, honest assessment from her on how I'm doing, and wow, it's great. So after we drove, I think I drove 2 hours the first week and then an hour and a half today. I meant to do 2 hours, but I got my timing mixed up in my own head. But I wanted to go back. I wanted to go on to the deck, but it was 70 degrees, which is kind of cold back there, you know. Out front is different, but I love the privacy of the deck. But this weekend, we're supposed to have, I think we're supposed to be mid-70s tomorrow, mid-70s on Sunday, and then we may, in the Valley area, hit 90 on Monday. And it's supposed to be sunny, beautiful. Mind you, we had frost this morning, so we're kind of experiencing what you're experiencing with wild fluctuations. You know, back and forth with that. But, and of course, we had frost several days prior to that. And they off my beautiful lilac. They're so fragile, you know, the flowering part of the plant. So, or the, basically, I have a nice kind of a, you know, a bush or grove starting to grow on the side of the house. So, that's sad, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for the warmth and the sun. And we did get enough rain with some rainstorms recently to kind of kill her. We were kind of in a semi-drought. So the lawn looks good, and I'm really looking forward to this weekend. My hope is that somehow things will, you know, I always like to think, you know, when they say it's awful weather coming, I'm always like, well, you know, it's still a few days away. Maybe things will change, and a lot of times it does. So, you know, maybe things will look up for you for this weekend. I hope so.
It would be nice. It would be nice because I'd love to have some good barbecue and make some hot and spicy slaw and, you know, all the things I do, because it's time, Darlene. It's time.
Yeah, and you're living in one of the most beautiful states, despite the, you know, the mountaintop removal thing, but the hills and hollers. I mean, whenever I see pictures of West Virginia, it's like where I live on steroids. It's that incredibly beautiful. So, because I live in a really nice part of Connecticut.
Yes.
You know, it's not, you know, a lot of people think Connecticut is like, you know, Bridgeport and New Haven and Stamford. No, that's the southern part, you know, near New York City. And, you know, it has its nice qualities. But the eastern part of the state and the northwest corner, of course, blood red states politically, blood red areas politically, unfortunately. It's beautiful here. So, you know, after the long winters, I am reminded during these months, you know, why I decided to settle here, you know, and remain here, basically, in the area. So, yeah.
Well, I am glad you did, and I'm rooting for a beautiful, warm summer, and a wonderful weekend to you. And a wonderful weekend to you, Darlene. Get out there and toddle around in Wanda some more. You'll be burning up the roads in no time.
Well, I have to have somebody sitting next to me, but I'm really happy that, you know, with the progress. And I remember we did a K-turn today, and everything is clicking because I think I'm not under pressure, and you know, I'm not under the guise of that very broken program, and there's a lot of issues. I can't wait to talk about it at some point in the future that I'm learning about, you know, that there's it's messed up. And so fingers crossed, but you know, she thought I was ready for the test a year or 3 months ago. So, you know, You know, she thinks I'm going to ace it. So we'll see how it goes, you know. But thank you. And I'll let you go and so you can get to the front porch. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Love talking to Darlene. There's not just that everybody gets what the... It's like she despises autumn as much as I do. Yay. Let's see, a couple of notes before we go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree. Steve in New York pointing out, my brother used to say ambulance instead of ambulance. And Claire might jump in on this one, and thank you, Claire. And thank you to Women's Standing. We are below the $1,200 mark. Claire said, "Let's get this miracle going," and it could actually happen. So the challenges are all met, and if we can just keep the ball rolling, we've got a fighting chance to finish May okay. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Let me see here. Dave in the Blind with a note. Darlene, I'm so happy for you about having the rainbows in your backyard. How the right wing can take something as beautiful as a rainbow and turn it into something to harm people is beyond me. Fascists like Fappy Thomas and Neil, Ann's boy Neil, have allowed this sort of thing to happen. We've allowed the political... not sure quite how that was supposed to retain control unconstitutionally. Oh, and for all the originalists out there, the framers were wise enough to show how the document may be changed and interpreted so from 1788 onward. Your brains are stuck. Then get back in the house, young ladies, and don't let anyone speak out against their richer betters. I'm terrified. Your buddy Dave in the Blind. Well, darn, I should have asked her. I'm sorry. Darlene, if you're still there, Randy Radar wants to know, did you ever get the planks for your porch? People remember things from these conversations. God knows over the weekend I'll be getting emails saying, are you fella yokel? Because that's how this all works. Lee in New York, library, late Middle English via Old French from Latin, libraria, bookstore. Feminine used as a noun of librarius relating to books from liber, book. Libel has the same etymology. Libel and library, and because libel is published, whereas slander is spoken. That's the easy way to come up with it. But nonetheless, standing on the brink of a potential Friday on the front porch community made miracle. Let's run over and check in with the gang in the old holler tree around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
Pretty good. Just usual things. I met up with the dentist a week ago and he decided I needed a crown replaced because there was decay under it, which when you pay out of your pocket because you haven't got any dental insurance, it sure puts the squeeze on the monthly budget.
Oh, heavens yes.
So other than that, the garden's doing well, and as I mentioned in the chat, there's an Asian market that's happening this afternoon. So I'm going to be bailing out of here so I can be downtown at 5, which means I'll probably be gone from here about 4:30. But the weather is nice. It's about 85 degrees today. And other than the youngest boy's new dog digging holes in my garden, things are going all right.
Nice. So is your lovely wife looking for anything in particular at the market?
No, but she's just always on the lookout for new things to try to cook because we have family dinners twice a week. And there's always what am I going to do that's new and different for this week, you know, for tonight or tomorrow night or whatever other night. So I think she's, she got into some Filipino and Korean cooking. And so I think we're just going to go down there to the market, and she's going to nose around and plan a menu out of whatever we find. That's her bailiwick, is in the kitchen. Mine's on the grill on the back porch. And let's see, sauerkraut class went off real well.
Okay, you got a dish on the sauerkraut. See what I did? Dish on the sauerkraut class.
Yeah, well, you said you wanted to come to it, but weren't able to. Yeah, distance is a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a commute.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I'd forgotten how ignorant high school students are. Not stupid, but ignorant. You know, they haven't been exposed to it, and they don't know when things that I think are super easy is a leap for them. And then one of the other master food preservers is Korean, much better expert on things like kimchi, and the teacher decided he also wanted a kimchi class. So Wednesday we made kimchi with the students. And this Tuesday I'm doing pickles. And then the following
Any particular
Tuesday,
kind of pickles?
No, and it's going to be real strange because I tried to get them to, well, what are we going to pickle? You know, well, cucumbers, you know, make regular pickles. But then I fed them some pickled asparagus and talked about green beans and the rest of that stuff. So I'm just going to have to bring all my data sheets with me, and whatever vegetables they bring in is what we'll pickle. And so I'll just have to have a whole backpack full of the different pickling spices and herbs and all the rest of it. And we'll make a whole bunch of different kinds of pickles.
That just sounds wonderful.
And then the week after that, we're doing jams and jellies, which will be another one, is whatever fruit we can find. That's what we'll deal with. And on the June 3rd, the Saturday, it's a community class, and I'm in charge of the mint apple jelly, so.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'll be making that. And my recipe for that is just real easy. You take your jug of apple juice and simmer some mint leaves for 10, 20 minutes.
Do you use peppermint or spearmint?
Pepper. I use regular mint. I don't know. It's just the mint plant you make mint juleps out of, or mojitos, or, you know.
I think that's spearmint. Mint.
Well, it's mint, or whatever. It grows in a pot. I water it, and it grows. And I don't know. I could probably go get the name tag out of the pot and find out. But I like it on lamb and that kind of thing. And but anyway, I just take the mint leaves, simmer it in the apple juice, and then add the proper amounts of acid in the form of vinegar and the pectin, and boil it and jar it and water bath it, and it gels because apple's got pectin in it already. And you just have your mint jelly for whenever you want it. You just need to make sure you take some green food coloring, because the mint doesn't really color a decent green in the jar. It's sort of a brown green. But you put a couple of drops of green food coloring in, and all of a sudden you get the bright green.
That sounds
so
yummy.
That's about all I got from my end.
Randy Radar said it's too early for pickled watermelon rind, but that's so tasty.
Yeah, there are watermelons showing up in the stores, but they're so damn expensive, and I really don't want to get into the watermelon rind. I'm looking more for things that'll pickle kind of quick. We're not going to do any kosher dills, which is a ferment pickle. We're going to be doing the bread and butter, or beans, or asparagus, or things of that sort. I mean, pickled beets are really good too.
Oh God, yes, pickled beets. And I love to put enough. I love to put enough clove in them to kind of numb your mouth a little bit.
Well, some people like clove.
So the kimchi that you made, did you make it spicy?
Well, that was sort of up to the kids to decide how much spice they wanted to put into it. Each pair of kids got a quarter of a head of bok choy. I got that right?
Yeah.
Well, the Chinese, the Napa cabbage.
Right.
And then Celeste brought all kinds of different flavorings from the red pepper flakes and the sugar and anchovies and krill paste and, you know.
Green onions.
So they can make whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then when they filled their little half-pint jars, there was leftover. So we scraped all that together and put it in some quart jars. And so there'll be quart jars of the whole class's kimchi. And then each pair of kids has their own little jar. So they'll be able to taste the differences between the
master. God, I love kimchi with scrambled eggs.
Yeah, well, kimchi goes with anything, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Celeste was saying, I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you always eat some kimchi. And there's different... No two kimchis are ever exactly the same because you put in what you want when you start to make it, and 2 days later you eat it, and then you make another batch, and you just enjoy the creativity of different stuff. And if you find one you make, you hope you can remember what you put in it so you can remake it. We've got a Korean barbecue type place where they have a burner on the table.
I love that. I've been to one of those one time. Chris in Germany and I went to one in, I think, Cumming, Georgia, the year of the Malloy Mountain getaway in summertime. And we just had a blast there. That is so much fun.
Now, their kimchi, they seem to have a pretty standard, because the several times we've eaten there, it all kind of, the kimchi tastes kind of the same. So they've got a recipe they're going with rather than the be creative number. But the next time I decide to do the Korean ribs, I'm definitely going to make some kimchi a day or two earlier and have it with the Korean ribs. Just, you know, I'm asking a question because I'm teaching. You know, there's a classroom out there. No, they're in. It's the beef ribs that are sliced across the ribs.
Yeah, short ribs.
Fairly thin.
Beef short rib. Plate ribs.
Yeah. And I love making those. Marinate them for a day before you cook them. And then just cook them on a grill. They're nice and juicy and tender, and I love them. They're great. But we have to get the kid to make them for us as a special order because they're not normally carried in the Safeway meat market. But since he's a meat cutter, he can cut whatever we want, and then we just go buy it. It's kind of nice to have a butcher friend.
Yes, it is. I was really tickled to find this, and it's been there for a while. I just didn't know about it. An independent shop over in Beckley that routinely stocks oxtails because I get all worked up about oxtail soup. Because, the collagen and everything just makes such a velvety broth or stew, and everything's nice and tender. And so.
Well, that's sort of like my classic for Super Bowl parties and things of that sort, my pork ribs that I used to do in the Dutch oven. And I'd start them on the barbecue, and then I'd get them browned, but still kind of rare in the middle, cut them into the individual ribs, put them in a Dutch oven, and then I had a sauce that I made. It was about half beer and half Snappy Tom tomato juice,
yeah.
A spicy tomato juice, some barbecue sauce, and then just cook them for an hour or two in the Dutch oven and dump them out, and the meat just falls off the bones. I mean, there's not even any sense in giving the bone to a dog because there's no meat on it at all when they've been cooked that way. And it's nice and tender. It doesn't get, don't get pieces of stringy meat caught in your teeth or anything like that.
You know, the next time you do that, you mentioned the Snappy Tom. See if you can get a bottle there. I'm sure you can. It's pretty much nationwide now. See if you can get a bottle of Zing Zang.
Zing Zang?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Zing Zang Bloody Mary mix. It is the best Bloody Mary mix I've ever run across.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the Snappy Thomas, the same thing. It's a Bloody Mary type.
Yeah.
Number, but it gives them a nice spice when they simmer in it.
Yeah, and I'm saying the Zing Zang has a little bit more kick, a little bit more, and it's not quite as thin as the Snappy Tom is.
Okay.
And so when you cook with it, it tends to cling to what you're cooking a little better.
Well, when you mix it half and half with beer, it's going to thin out anyhow.
Well, true, absolutely. Back in my beer drinking days, I would make my chiladas with a Dos Equis or a Modelo, actually, a Modelo and Zing Zang and lime and salt. It was very good.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's about all I've got for the good of the order. And as I say, I'm going to have to bail kind of early because the wife wants to do this other shopping trip. So we got some other folks in here, so one of them needs to chime in.
Yes, we do. And I need to look and see who is in there. Let's do a Mouseketeer roll call.
Hi, everybody.
Christopher, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Robin?
You know, it's been a lovely day and a lovely week, and, you know, hey, Friday on the front porch actually works today, so I'm going to chalk that up to a win.
Big win, yeah. So it sounds like you're going to do a bit of cooking, as usual, over Memorial Day weekend. Right?
I'm going to try to. I mean, you can't let Memorial Day go by without, you know, fixing something. So
the ribs
looked pretty. The shoulders looked, well, they're butts. I prefer a whole shoulder. Just because you get that nice, rich layering of fat.
Uh-huh.
And you don't get so much of that with a trimmed-up Boston butt.
Right.
And
yeah. Well, you know what you're doing. You're the master.
Well, miracle of miracles, I saw a brisket today that was only $56.55.
Well, how big is that then? How many pounds?
Oh, that's a whole brisket, untrimmed.
That's a big son of a gun.
Yeah, and see, I prefer for the same reasons I like the pork shoulder over the butt. You get that fat pad, and when you go to smoke it, you have a pan under it to catch your drippings, but you put it fat pad up, and then as the fat melts, it saturates through the meat, and so you get this, you know, because you can screw up a brisket in a minute.
Oh man, yeah.
And nothing is more frustrating.
Then it's just a weapon. Massive,
huge. Wait a minute. Yeah, it's a then it's just a weapon. Perfect. Are you doing anything this weekend?
So yeah, my aunt's throwing a little get together. There's a brand new baby in the family. How old is she now? I can't remember. Like, maybe a couple months. I need to ask my sister, so I'm going to go pick out a onesie, but I don't know what size to get. I have no idea. So that's my sister's department.
Well, you know,
so,
we're coming. It's really wild. I've been pondering the fact that we're coming up on the anniversary of the first and only Hornin.
Yes.
And that was a very busy time.
I imagine. And weren't you running at the same time? Were you running?
No. The primary was over by then. I had just lost.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Took me a minute because, yeah, I was running all right. But, you know, so I was doing all the cooking for the Hornin. And we were hanging out and having fun, and we had a great front porch that Friday.
I remember that.
And at the same time, we were awaiting the arrival of my little Junie. And she will be 1 year old in just a matter of a week or so.
Time just flies by, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And she kind of had a miserable day today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's getting a mouthful of teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's just sitting there, you know, gnawing on her fist and just beating the hell out of her binky and bless her little heart, she's drooling. And
that stuff, is it Abrasol?
Yeah. You know, it's really weird as far as a product to deal with teething, and I need to see if I can find one of these. One of the best, and maybe think about this for the little one in your family, one of the best teething devices is real, actual amber.
Huh.
You know, like amber beads.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Put them in the freezer and just... And you don't have to worry about... it's hard. It's real hard. Baby is not going to crunch it or anything. But I've seen several articles talking about that's a great natural teething thing. Just have to make sure that it's strung really hard and, you know, none of the beads can get loose or anything.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Never heard that before.
But she's almost to the point of walking back and forth in her playpen.
Oh, that's fun.
It's such a throwback to when Ferg and his sisters were babies, because they were all really, really smart little ones, and so. You know, we had a huge playpen because at one point in time, three of them were in it.
Wow.
And let's see. Margaret was first, and Margaret tunneled out. She sat there down at the bottom of the playpen, developed like digital dexterity very early, and she was sat there, and she just sat there and quietly worked at the seam at the bottom of the playpen, and then one day... Annette and I looked in, and she was sitting out on the floor. She'd broken out.
God, she was the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes,
Jim Robbins.
Yes, she was.
Jim Robbins.
Yeah, pay no mind. And then Ferg comes along, and he gets up and gets to where he's walking around, and he just does a press on the top rail of the playpen. And pressed himself up with the strength of his little baby upper body and vaulted over the top.
Oh, my God.
And then Doodle came along.
He didn't get hurt?
Yeah, of course he got hurt.
Oh,
and he was sitting there bawling and grinning at the same time. And then Doodle came along and just bulldogged the playpen onto its side and walked out. I was talking to my youngest the other day, Doodle, and she's got one. She's got a little almost 3-year-old.
Is she the one in New Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said, "My God, how did you manage four of us?"
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm exhausted dealing with one. No one. No wonder you. Y'all were so hairy. We were horrible children. And I was like, no, you weren't. You were wonderful children. And they were.
I look at what my sister and brother-in-law are going through right now with the three teenagers.
Oh, dear God. And, they're in hell.
Yeah, yeah. Life is not easy. Not a bit.
That's rough. Because because there's 14 months between Ferg and Doodle, and there's about, let's see, 94, not, and then there's 22 months between Marg and Ferg, so they were all in high school at the same time. Ugh.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So we've got that going on Sunday, and then Monday I'm going to go meet some friends in Wine Country down the Willamette.
Oh, pretty.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Probably end up staying overnight. working from their house on Tuesday.
Are there going to be, or is there going to be wine tasting involved?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. What do you favor, Christopher?
Well, I've become a Pinot guy up here, you know?
Noir?
I love Zin. I love California Zins. I love any kind of reds for the most part.
Pinot Noir is definitely my favorite.
Right? It's just bold. It's got everything you need.
I like the fruit of it. It's got a
fruit forward, right?
Yeah, Merlot always seemed kind of thin. And
like table wine. It's like
and a big old cab is just varnishy.
Maybe a little bit too much. Yeah.
Leathery. I don't get into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get hate mail over the weekend from the Merlot and the Cabernet lovers. And then
a lot of people dislike Chards. Buttery, too buttery, too oaky.
Yeah, I love Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
Because again, I'm a fruit girl. And the other thing I love is I love German dessert wines.
Yeah, a Gewürztraminer isn't necessarily a dessert wine. You can get high residual sugar Gewürztraminers, but I love a good dry, real Gewürztraminer, not one of those made up high sugar octane.
I love the high sugars. Chris in Germany and I were talking not too long back about the Auslese and Trockenbeeren Auslese. Auslese is late harvest, and I guess Trockenbeeren Auslese is really late harvest. Because it's always been my understanding that the Trockenbeeren Auslese, they only pick after the first frost, and they're practically, oh God, if Tracy's listening, she's going to throw a fit, practically raisins. And it just...
Hey, speaking of German...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you.
No, I was just going to say, I was throwing out that show, Hunters, and Billable said, yeah, go ahead and watch it. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm getting towards the end. There's only two seasons, and it's got you at the end of your seat. I won't say a word about it, but it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's very suspenseful, and it's got some action and stuff.
Okay. And okay.
Not too bloody and gory, a little bit, but not too bad.
Are you doing Ted Lasso? Wow, that came
no,
out. That came out wrong.
Everybody says I need to watch it.
Well,
everybody
it will be over as of Wednesday. Done. Fini.
Now that's Apple.
Apple TV Plus, and you can
have that.
Get it for a week.
Yeah,
and just binge the three seasons. You'll feel like you have watched the best thing you've ever seen on a screen.
Everybody says it. Everybody says, what do you mean you haven't seen that show? I'm like, well, I haven't.
And the thing is, they still got loose ends to tie up in this final episode. And I have no idea how they're going to do it.
Maybe they just won't, like Sopranos.
Oh, shut up.
Say, hey,
no.
Let your imagination go wild.
Don't
you know?
Even.
Whatever. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all, motherfuckers. We got to go.
And Hannah Waddingham, who plays Rebecca Wilton, is very definitely my avatar. I mean, I'm told that like people will walk into plastic surgeons and say, make me look like her, and a lot of them, social media influencers. I'm gonna walk in with an 8x10 glossy of Hannah Waddingham and go, make me look like her, please. Just do that. Can you do that, please? And I always think of, you remember the movie L.A. Confidential? That's one of my favorite movies. And Kim Basinger, they cut her to make her look like Veronica Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of which, Billable Rick just sent a note. Robin, to help ease the pain of Lassie's paws as she tries to dig you out of a deep hole, I'm making the following Leaving for Vegas All-Star Challenge, that's STARR, to commemorate tomorrow's concert by Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band, that Ginger and I are attending tomorrow night at the Venetian in Las Vegas. I'll pledge $25 to be doubled to $50 when met. We're leaving for Vegas tomorrow morning with Ginger, her mom, and sister, who arrived tonight in Burbank from western Iowa and Omaha. I'm looking forward to meeting Ginger's family for the first time. They're staying with me and Ginger in the L.A. foothills through June 6th. As of 2023, the All-Star Band includes the following members who are accomplished musicians in their own right. Ringo Starr. Is that Sir Ringo? Vocal, yeah. Drums, and pianos. Colin Hay, guitar, harmonica, vocals. Men at Work. Hamish Stewart. Bass, guitar, vocals. Dream Police, Average White Band, Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, and Paul McCartney Band. Edgar Winter.
Oh, my God. I saw him in Vegas.
Greg Bissonette, drums, percussion, trumpet, backing vocals, David Lee Roth. Wow, Steve Lukather.
David Lee Roth?
No, not David Lee Roth, but Greg Bissonette.
Oh, in the band. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Steve Lukather, guitars, bass, vocals, Toto, Boz Scaggs, Michael Jackson.
Nice.
And Warren Ham from Kansas and Toto, saxophone, percussion, keyboards, harmonica, vocals. Billable says, I'm really looking forward to this concert since Ringo, despite his octogenarian status, always puts on a great show. I saw him at the Greek Theater with my son about 2018 when his players included Todd Rundgren, Steve Lukather, and Warren Ham. Happy Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, Billable. I swear to God, if anything happens to Ringo, I'm going to hunt you down.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, no. Oh, poor Ringo. He doesn't know what any of those guys. Edgar, he looked old.
Wear a cape or a cloak or something that will keep your powers from transmitting, Billable, please.
Yeah.
Garlic is good.
Spain. I don't know. Somebody get something to Edgar quick.
Yeah, something, you know, maybe one of those high-tech fibers that deflects radar or something. I don't know.
Maybe you just slather a bunch of horse paste on them. Maybe that'll work.
Wombat antifungal. But so if somebody's got $25, Billable will turn it into $75. Because 25.
I can afford another 10. It's been a rough month.
I understand, Christopher. Don't hurt yourself. Okay, yeah. So 15, another 15 turns into $75, and we get a little closer to the miracle. Sorry to hammer on it, but here we are. And by the way, Jeremy in Vermont, Jeremy, thankfully, I'm glad you clarified brisket. If someone unfamiliar to the program had stumbled in and heard about big Boston butts with fat pads and fat drippings, they may have reconsidered their listening habits. I can always count on you, Jeremy. I can always count.
I cannot lie. Yeah.
I cannot lie.
That's great.
You other mothers. Never mind. Let's don't do that.
So should we get a little bit politically?
Do please.
Curious a little bit. Well, all right. I was just listening to Majority Report, I think, and they were getting into. David Dane was on.
Yeah.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. And they were going into the ins and outs of this supposed deal that's going to go down. And it looks like as we, you know, it's the same old Kabuki theater, right? Don't throw me down into that austerity briar patch. Oh, no. But it looks like we're going to have some cuts. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't really know any specifics on the deal.
I mean, imagine being a member of a political party whose primary complaint is we're not fucking America hard enough.
Hard enough. Yeah, exactly right. You know, and we've all been through this a million times during the turnover of the Congress. Lame duck session, I guess.
Yeah.
They could have done away with the that debt ceiling.
Yeah, that's a fuck up. That's an own goal on the Democrats.
And they just
but we're so good at those.
Oh, masters.
Well, I want to know what happened to the I want to know what happened. We don't negotiate with terrorist stance of the Democratic Party. And now to prevent a shutdown, they're negotiating and screwing us over. Joe Biden definitely dropped the ball on this one.
Well, he's playing the same game Obama did with the austerity and
he's making that fundamental mistake that you can negotiate with a rabid dog.
It's impossible. But now the Progressive Caucus sent him a member, all 66 members or whatever it is, saying, tell them to go fuck themselves, invoke the 14th Amendment. And I mean, the thing is, you don't have to do a thing. You just continue on as normal, like nothing ever happened. I mean, why can't Democrats at least do that? Just do nothing. Just go along your merry way. That's all you have to do.
Well, the Republicans have been bleating and barking and grunting for the last couple of weeks. Janet Yellen was lying. It ain't gonna be June 1st. We're fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Well, no, okay. So Janet Yellen went back and put two and two together and added five and carried 12 and came up with June 5th.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, great. And one, you know, the idiot caucus has been saying, you know, we just need to do this. We just need to keep things going through June. And then we'll get what we want. When what they want is to hurt people. I mean, this is political sadism.
Well, and we get to play this game again with the budget. So, Joe, if you're going to negotiate, get us through the next election at least.
And that's what the nature of the deal is. It gets us through 2024.
Okay. All right. Well, then there's some benefits.
And then there's
we don't have to fuck around with the budget, huh?
And then there's a dozen spending bills. You know, I honestly would kind of like to, and remember, there's a discharge petition that only needs five Republican votes, but, you know, good luck finding them. There's a discharge petition that only needs five Republican votes, and it goes to the floor, and the whole thing is averted.
Mm-hmm.
It's ripe, it's mature, it's ready for, it's, you know, capable of being considered and voted on in a trice. The problem is finding the five Republicans.
Yeah, see, they don't have any cinemas or mansions on their side. They might talk.
Shut up.
Maybe there's some people who like to talk middle ground and a little bit of tiny sanity, but the sure fuck ain't going to vote that way. They're going to vote Republican all the time.
Robin, I don't ask for much, but can I at least get a half-assed jingle for my word salad?
Of course, Jeremy. Of course.
And also,
Before you go further, I had a note from Claire across the pond. More meat talk, and should I skip off to bed now? Just asking. I think we're done with meat talk for a while. I hope. Maybe. Is it okay to talk about, like, roasting jalapenos and with, like, that are stuffed with, you know, like crumbly, wonderful cheese and things like that. Can I do that? Just want to make sure.
No, tofu only. Tofu only.
Yeah, don't be an asshole, Christopher.
And also, Billable's challenge has been met completely.
Yes, thank you. I just saw that. Arnold in PA jumped in as well. So we are now down. Let's see. Goodness. Okay, I'm sorry, doing the ciphering. So we are now down below $1,100. And that, I can't say how wonderful that is. Because, again, you know, another unforeseen necessity, I'm going to have to be, as I mentioned, hitting the road over some family stuff that is not at all pleasant. So, and I just want to be supportive of someone that I love very dearly. But thank you. We're down under $1,100, and it could happen. And thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, Arnold. By the way, when I rattled off the cast of Ringo Starr and his all-star band, who, by the way, are going to be playing Charleston, West Virginia later.
There you go.
That's kind of wild. Arnold said the Cocaine Viagra Tour. Ringo Starr and his all-star band, sponsored by cocaine and Viagra. That's a cowbell. But then I wonder if he'll play the no-no song. No, 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 I don't. No more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. Remember that?
No.
You've never heard the no-no song?
I don't think so. I can't remember
it. It's about giving up all the substances. Let's see. What? No, 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 no. A woman that I know just came from Colombia. She smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out some marijuana to me. She said it was the finest in the land, and I said, no, 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 I don't smoke no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor.
And I thought the no-no song is what Congress sang back to Marjorie yesterday when she said they'll obey their rules.
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of which, Jeremy, the Biden administration, and we were saying, you know, the Biden administration is, well, they kind of smacked Lauren Bobblehead Boobert around.
Uh-oh.
She was responding to an announcement from the White House of the first U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. And, you know, everything is either projection or confession. Bobblehead, who covered for her soon-to-be ex-husband when he was abusing the hell out of their son. Remember that. When they say stuff like this, they mean they want to go after conservatives. Their tactics are straight out of the USSR's playbook. Well, it's not our fault that most of the anti-Semites are in the conservative movement. Now, is it? And then she got just burnt to the ground. The ratio was amazing on Twitter. And the White House then said, Congresswoman Boebert is mistaken. Anti-Semitism is not conservative. It is evil. President Biden is standing up for a bedrock American value that goes beyond politics and is embraced by liberals, conservatives, and independents, that we are better than anti-Semitism and hate. Those vile forces fly in the face of what America represents. And then went on and said, anybody who finds opposition to hate threatening needs to look inward.
Yeah, we got a big-ass cemetery in Arlington to prove it, too.
Yeah. And he went on and said, you know, Lauren might find a result if she goes to Google and searches. Lauren might find a result for Joe Biden, who at the time decried anti-Semitic acts by Soviet communists as shameful. And, of course, then when HuffPo reached out to her for a comment, she was doing her hair. She couldn't hear for the shampoo. She couldn't hear the phone ring or something.
Did she have a helicopter going?
Yeah, I think so.
Boebert helicopter talk.
Jesus, she's so toxic.
She really is.
And
she's
then there, then there was yesterday. The list continues to grow of companies over which maggots are butthurt. And now they're mad at North Face. Now, I love North Face stuff, and I love Patagonia and Arc'teryx. Mm-hmm. I just can't afford to wear any of it. And once in a while, I'll stumble across an extra large in a consignment shop, or we've got a place that sells seconds and stuff with flaws in them. Gabe's, it's called. And every now and then,
Do they have a suspiciously large size?
That's what the XL is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
But it's expensive, and a lot of it is ethically made. Cotopaxi is another one of my favorite brands. Prana makes some amazing hiking tights that have actual brass zippers that don't get all stuck or ruined in the water. Oh, they're heavenly. So North Face, announced that they had partnered with a drag queen. Because, of course, I mean, a drag queen by the name of Patagonia. Patagonia, right? And Patagonia, they did a little ad where for their Summer of Pride event. And North Face has some rainbow stuff. It's like Darlene talking about rainbows and Dave and the Blind saying, you know, it's sad that the right wing and the maggots can take something as beautiful as a rainbow and make it awful. So, you know, they're doing the Summer of Pride event, and she says, we're here to invite you to come out in nature with us. That's it. She's wearing a rainbow skirt in a forest. That, I mean, that's really just it. And that just lit Lauren Bobblehead Boobert right up. Well, I guess North Face wanted to get a taste of what conservatives did to Bud Light and Target. Nothing. How many times do we have to explain to the woke marketing departments at these disgusting companies that America is not a nation of degenerates? It's time to boycott. It's time to boycott any product North Face has ever made. Let's make it as shameful to wear North Face as it is to drink Bud Light. Well, I don't think North Face is going to give a fuck, because it's not like there are a bunch of Republicans out there wearing North Face.
No.
And but I do encourage all the Republicans to take all of their North Face. And take it to, you know, a secondhand, a vintage, you know, secondhand store, something like that, so that I can afford some. Although, I confess, it's bad for the planet, but they have a history of doing this. I would be perfectly willing and absolutely delighted to see scads of videos of maggots who have paid $100, $150, $200 for like a fleece windbreaker or something. Set it on fire, maggots. Set it on fire.
Shoot it up.
Get, light her up. But the best part of it, y'all know who Mrs.
Tannerite.
Y'all, Tannerite. I should never have taught y'all that word. You know who Mrs. Betty Bowers is, though, right? America's best Christian.
Yeah, America's best Christian.
Yeah, from...
I don't know who that is.
I forget the name of the church, but God, she's hilarious. She immediately responded and burned Booby to the ground.
She's satirical?
Yes.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of her.
Your husband...
What are these freaks going to do? Go ahead,
Your husband whipped out his penis to underage girls. He also physically abused your son, and you covered for him. So take a seat talking about degenerates, you vile, sanctimonious, fake Christian hypocrite and alleged adulterer who allegedly had sex with Toes Curl. Ted Cruz.
Permanently dinner is permanently gone. Gone.
Yeah, there went dinner in the again. Pacific Daylight Time. But you know that's out there.
Oh.
She.
Well, what about what's her name? What about sweet Wendy? Is that her name? What's his wife's name?
Oh, Heidi.
Heidi. Well, then where the fuck is Heidi? Is Heidi with the dog that he abandoned?
Oh, she's probably berating her daughter for being bisexual.
Oh, well, there's that.
Trying to drive her to suicide again.
Yeah, the daughter's chained up in the attic.
Jesus, I worry about that poor child. Of course, did you see the news? Alternative facts lady, Crypt Keeper, Kellyanne Conjob, remember her?
Yes.
Her daughter with George Conway has announced that she's signed up to be a Playboy model.
Ooh.
Don't say ooh. Nobody look. But that ought to just go nicely between Kellyanne's ribs. Here, Mom. I don't know because Playboy's kind of like revamped and rebranded, and I don't know what they're doing now. It's much more online. I haven't cared for a very long time. I do want to get a copy of, and it's probably, I haven't even looked, but I'd like to have one, a copy of this year's Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, because one of them, and again, they had a hissy, Kim Petras is on the cover. She's one of the cover models. There's four. Martha Stewart is another one.
Yes, I saw that. She looked really good.
Smoking hot at 81.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, wasn't there, you know what, I don't know. By the way, Betty Bowers is Canadian.
Is she?
Yep. I mean, the person who plays Betty Bowers, yeah.
I did not know that. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. You know what, Robin, I would like you to do?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
No. There are, I don't know if this is a thing elsewhere in the country, but at various parts of the year, clothing makers will have things called sample sales, where
yes.
you can buy stuff like, like 90% off. And I was just checking to see if North Face, I find North Face sample sales. I don't know that they have them. I see them in New York. If the spirit ever moves you, go on there and look and see sometime. And if there's something on there, you let me know sizes and I can go and see if there's something for you.
Beautiful. Yes. Either 1X, either 1X or 2X. In tops.
Okay. Do you know, you've heard of REI?
Oh, I love REI.
Yeah, REI is a great one too. And they have, you can get some really good stuff really cheap with them too. I mean, they're definitely on the expensive side. Partly because they're an employee owned co-op too. So,
but when they have clearance sales, they're great, Steve. I'm a member. So and I
I'm a member too, although I haven't, you know, whatever. I was gonna say, who was it on the call of the folks here who was a big Picard person as I was?
Jeremy.
Me.
Oh hey, what'd you think of the final episode?
No spoilers.
Oh no spoilers. I'm just asking what he thought.
I enjoyed it, but honestly, I thought it was a slight letdown in some ways. But
you know, it's funny. Parts
of it were really good.
It's funny you say that because I talked to my partner after it, and we both agreed that we liked it, but it just didn't. It was good, and I liked the end. Again, I won't say what the end. No one say what the end was, but I thought the exact same thing. I thought this didn't quite live up to this because I thought the entire series. Seasons 1 through 3 were fantastic. Just unbelievable.
Last episode felt a little rushed. I think it felt a little rushed is what it was. It wasn't bad. It was entertaining. But it felt like they capped things too quickly all at once. And I think that's what the disappointment was. But the comedy's there. The action's there. Mm-hmm. The way it's shot, it's all still beautiful. It's great. It's the best series I think they've made in my lifetime. That's including the first generation.
Yep. Yeah, but it's funny. You and I had we had the exact same response. Oh, I know. I wanted to say something about the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
I have come to almost disagree with almost everything that Sam Cedar says these days. And I find Emma to be just dumber than a sack of doorknobs.
Well, I guess I'll never be guesting on Majority Report.
Well, sorry. I'm trying to get her on there. Or get
hold
her
on
there.
It's not because she's a woman. It's because she's...
No, it's not.
I like her, so...
I'm playing. Okay. I'm playing.
Here's what... I will tell you why I don't like her. Because... When I and Robin, I've alluded to this with you, and this is the one thing. When I see people who all they have ever done It's like watching ESPN and seeing these so-called sports experts who've never fucking suited up so much as a pair of golf cleats. She's never worked in politics or government. And while I think she's like 27 or 28, well, I wouldn't expect her to know a lot about politics, how politics works, and government. She has no sense of humility that maybe she speaks so definitively about how the Democrats should do this and the Republicans are this way or that way that she's got no she doesn't have enough sense to know that having not worked in either of those spaces, she doesn't have any sense of humility that, oh, shit, maybe – I mean, this is – rather than speaking definitively, saying, this is my perception.
I think this is a function of youth. And I say that
– No, I completely agree with you.
It's certainly not gender. It's youth.
Yeah, it's youth.
I posit that because – granted, I came back to this is the 20th anniversary of me coming back. This month is the 20th anniversary of me getting back behind a microphone again. Mm-hmm. And there is, and it's even worse over on the right, but there is a culture of trying to make people think that you are a definitive source on something. And if you stay at this long enough, you will develop a far greater sense of humilité.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to, I try to be open to criticism and open to correction, but that is not in the nature of this medium.
Right.
And so I think regardless of people having experience, some sort of substantive experience in politics and government. It would be like me coming on the air here and pontificating about economics. It's not my lane, and that's why I don't cover it very often.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah, Scott.
May I jump in? Because I want to piggyback on what you and Steve are referring to. Back in the day when I was a wee one, growing up, my Wonder Bread years, my teenage years, we had a saying called never trust anybody over 30. Well, I got to be 30 at some point and realized then and only then that even 30 was not an age where people had a firm grasp on all things life, you know? And the older I get, I'm going to be 68, I think, in June. And as I get older, I it's a constant revelation of what I still don't know yet. Most of what, you know, I have a reasonable sense of certain things. But if I were to stake my life on it, I couldn't easily do that in a lot of areas, you know? And I wanted to piggyback on something you said about the announcement that the debt ceiling meltdown won't happen until the 5th, and big deal on that, Republicans. In fairness, I should say that those of us on Social Security that get our payment on the 3rd of the month, if it holds at the 5th before the meltdown, at least they're not going to screw the Social Security recipients on the 3rd this time around. But anyway, that's all I've got for the moment.
And Scott, and the veterans too. Yeah.
Yeah, there are other groups that also get paid on the 3rd.
Can I give an example of what I mean?
No, go ahead.
and it's something Emma does it all the time. There was a specific thing I can't remember. She talks about things she has. If you don't know something, don't open your mouth. And there was another person one time on there who made the comment, was talking about Canadian politics and clearly had not the fucking clue what the person was talking about, made the comment that, well, the last election, Trudeau did not have a majority and therefore he would have a coalition government. And I was like, no, that's not the truth. Again, when you don't know what you're talking about, keep your mouth shut.
Perhaps add a caveat.
Yeah. Yeah. And just say, hey, maybe we can have an expert on. And Sam, you know, to his credit, Steve, he does that pretty often. Right. Like when something comes up, again, he's like,
yeah, oh, I know. But I will say this. I don't want to take up
beat
too
up
much
on
time.
Sam. Yeah, let's not make this beat no, up Sam
and,
Friday.
No, and it's not a matter of but like what Robin was just talking about with this debt limit, and Sam has been talking about, oh my God, it's very clear, and you know, he can do this and blah 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, look, I frankly think Biden, et cetera, fucked up when they didn't do this 2 years ago when they had all the momentum right off when they were passing bill after bill after bill. They didn't. And I think part of this is Biden, but I think a bigger part of it, frankly, is probably Chuck Schumer, who is the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
But when I keep thinking
about – He takes the path
about,
of least resistance every time, right, Steve?
I think Sam is dead on right, is that Schumer doesn't see himself as a – I like the way Sam puts it. He sees himself as a concierge. He's like – to do, how can I help each of my members?
Well, let me jump in here for a second, mm-hmm. because it's a difference in philosophy. Republican speakers tend to majority leaders, because we're talking about the Senate, tend to be iron fisted autocrats,
mm-hmm.
because that's who they are.
The law be damned.
On the other hand, when you look at a Chuck Schumer or his predecessor Harry Reid, the caucus loved both of those men.
Yeah.
But you know what, Robin?
Hold on for a second, because I got multiple things going on at the same time. They were loved by their caucus because they would not make people march in lockstep. They did not say, okay, that's fine, Joe Manchin. You fuck your own caucus over. Watch how much money doesn't go to West Virginia. I mean, and one of the classic examples of this is back in 2009. It was January 2009. I've told this story before. I was at a progressive broadcaster's meeting, reception, right after Barack Obama was inaugurated. And Harry Reid came and spoke to us. God, I think of the people who were there who aren't even doing this work anymore. It's amazing. But Harry Reid came and spoke to us and said, I want you to know that we will have a card check bill by summer. Because that was something that a lot of people were talking about and really wanted. It would have changed the labor landscape of this country. And of course, Harry, being from Nevada, had, card check had been in place there for ages. And the economy of Nevada hadn't exactly corkscrewed into the ground. But he said, there will be a card check bill by summer. And then, of course, the W. Bush economy chickens really came home to roost, and we came up with the subprime. We got hit with the subprime crisis and the Great Recession. And so then, lo and behold, two senators, Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, and,
was it Ben Nelson?
Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Thank you, Christopher. Blanche said, you know, we're in an economic meltdown. Making corporations pay higher prices is a terrible idea.
You know, hurt their fifis.
And Ben Nelson did the same thing, and poof, like smoke.
Just like the minimum wage.
Card check went gone. And not another word was ever heard.
Down the memory hole forever. Yeah, over and over again.
And that was because Harry Reid didn't haul those two conservative Democrats in and say, listen, this is going to happen. Now, that was also the same year that it took until August for all the godforsaken recounts to be finished. But by the end of August, we had... And it's so easy to forget this.
You're talking about Franken, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about Franken. Yeah, right.
By the end of August, Franken was seated, and we had nominally 60 votes in the Senate of the United States. 60 Democratic votes.
We could have had the entire platter, every wish list. Yep. Could have had it.
Robin, when you said poof, it took me back to the movie that Kevin Spacey was in. I think it was L.A. Confidential, wasn't it? Rollo Tomasi?
Oh, yeah, Rollo Tomasi.
The poof was your Rollo Tomasi moment, where he's walked at the end. I don't want to give away the ending, but poof.
Oh, no.
Statute of limitations is over. Don't worry about that.
That was not L.A. Confidential. That was The Usual Suspects.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and it wasn't Rollo Tomasi. It was...
Wait, what are you doing?
What was his name?
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, Kaiser Soze. Kaiser Soze.
Put me in the timeout corner cinematically tonight, because I obviously don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, that's okay.
Come sit with me, Scott. Just come over here and sit with me.
John Brivo.
Wait a minute.
Robin,
before you start, I'm having I hesitate to say this about Sam Cedar's friend Emma. You know, I was going to quote Mark Twain, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt.
Wait a second. Folks. No, I don't want anyone to think. And like Robin said, it's probably a function of
youth and bombast.
Let me say one more thing I'm finished. When I heard Sam talk about, you know, he talks about and this isn't just about Sam, this is anybody who says this, that it's clear that Biden, under the 14th Amendment, he has the ability to do this. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what planet do you live on? Let's play this out. Number one, this is a question of constitutional interpretation. Like it or not, that the final word on that is vested in one Supreme Court, number one.
Right.
Number two, look who's on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Number three, let's just assume Biden does this and says, hey, 14th Amendment gives me this authority. Then it goes from being a political decision to a legal one. If it's a political decision, then you could say – you could argue the court cannot intervene. The court can't intervene. The other thing is – suppose Biden does this. Suppose it goes to a court. And you know as well as I do, who would bring this? Who would bring this an action to try to forestall him from doing this? It would be a maggot. Where would they bring it?
Fifth Circuit, right?
Fifth Circuit, bingo. So then you get a judge like Kaczmarek, someone like that, to issue a temporary restraining order.
Which means no checks can go out the door?
Which means...
What if they keep sending the checks?
Stop.
I mean, who's going to stop them?
Dude, just hold on. The issue is not the checks going out the door. That's not the issue. That has nothing to do with this. The issue is the government doesn't have money to honor those checks. So the government needs to borrow money to honor – they could send those checks out. But if there's no money to honor the checks, all the checks will bounce. I could see a judge in Texas or wherever saying temporary restraining order, no debt sales. Can't sell any debt in order to because it will exceed the debt ceiling. And it's a question of interpretation of whether or not that interpretation is correct. I know the standard for a temporary restraining order, an injunction, is whether or not there's a likelihood of success on the merits. But Robin, you know as well as I do, and anybody else who knows what I'm talking about or doesn't, that test is out the window. And a perfect example of that Kaczmarek. Kaczmarek, because that FDA injunction there is no likelihood of success on the merits of that case. At best, it was 50-50. That judge had no business issuing that injunction, which is why the court said no injunction. But everyone here knows that that's what would have happened, and then what? Then you have a court order saying the government cannot fund itself. How long would that go?
Hey, Steve, could I request –
hold on a second.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's where I think people like Sam don't think these things through. Just because another perfect example in the 14th Amendment is if you participate in an insurrection, you can't run for office. And there's a lot of people saying, well, hey, what about the Trump? He took part in an insurrection. He can't run for office.
Has to be proven.
Has to be proven.
Number one, and we have to define what insurrection is. And again, you know as well as I do that group of Nazi originalists would say, well, that insurrection there meant the Civil War.
Yeah, and you know the point. In fact, Steve, that's already been done because when insurrection suits were brought against people like Andy Biggs of Arizona Stan and Marginal Trailer Queen, the court held that that was just a Civil War amendment, even though the text of the 14th Amendment says otherwise.
I don't even think the text of the 14th Amendment says shit about the Civil War.
No, it doesn't. But as with anything, Steve, there is a debate history on the amendment. And there were statements made in the course of debating the 14th Amendment where they said, we want this to be applicable to future instances.
Of course.
And if they're going to be true to originalism, then the originalism in question is the intent of the – because originalism always goes to whoever did the writing. So there's an originalist, at least in theory, an originalist interpretation of the 14th Amendment would look to the debate had around the 14th Amendment in 1865?
66, 67.
Yeah.
But you know what's
and that is discoverable and knowable because they left a record.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Robin? You'll be able to appreciate this. Probably others won't. This is the other con of originalism. Originalism will say this. All we have to look at, interpret the text. We can't take any outside sources. Except when we want to take outside sources
right.
to support our view. Am I wrong? Or am I right?
No, you're there.
And they wouldn't take those outside sources. I mean, does anyone honestly dispute how the court would rule on this 14th Amendment issue?
Oh, I have no doubt that you're right.
I don't know for sure.
No, but then
wait a minute. Just a sec. One at a time.
Breathe.
We're going on a little bit long. Okay, go ahead. We're still listening.
Yeah, I know. You think you know where they're going to rule, but you're not sure. But the problem I see it, and people like Sam don't seem to get, is that the consequences of Biden invoking that, and then the court saying, no, you never had that authority, are even worse than just defaulting. Because that would then say that all of the debt that the U.S. had sold in the interim was not valid.
Well, Steve, could I jump in real quick?
I'm done. So, yes, if
okay.
ask whatever you want
to
ask.
And I don't know that much about Sam Cedar because I don't listen to whatever it is that he does. But I question his use of words in this case when he begins the statement clearly regarding something that is verifiably uncharted territory. There's
yes.
nothing clear about uncharted territory.
Yeah, I'll hear that.
Robin, are you nodding your head right now like I am?
Yeah. I mean, look, what you're talking about here is a physics principle applied to the Supreme Court. You know, call it Schrodinger's Supreme Court
exactly.
or Heisenberg's uncertainty principle of the Supreme Court.
Well, with Schrodinger, in this case, there's dead cats everywhere. God damn it. I mean, quitted with the dead cats.
But
you know,
not,
you can never lose with a Schrodinger reference.
It's not about the cat, Scott.
Oh, wait a minute. That's from the Horn Greatest Hits album.
Oh yes, it is.
It's not about the cat, Rick.
I'm sorry.
That was one of the Great Fridays, right up there with Steve in Georgia Stan's description of his colonoscopy and a piece of bubble gum from eighth grade.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Well, I would say, Steve, is that Joe would have his Andrew Jackson moment. You know, the court has decided, let them enforce it. And we go on from there.
But here's the deal. Here's what, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, but here's the deal. Here's the real problem with that. In the Andrew Jackson moment, that was purely 100% a domestic matter. This instance is debt that the U.S. sells to bondholders around the world.
Yes.
What are they going to do when they say, so the money I spent, you weren't authorized to issue it, so is my debt void?
These are Alfred E. Newman notes? Yeah, right. I hear you. You got a good point there. Yes?
I'm not saying Sam is right or wrong. What I'm saying is this notion that it's so definitive and easy. Folks, you need – and again, Biden fucked up at not doing this differently.
Yeah, well, way back when he had their capital. Yes, you're right. Yes.
He should have done
that. Minimum wage, motherfucker. We should have instrumented the first thing he did.
Yes, but he didn't. And that doesn't mean – and, you know, he didn't. And
sucks. It really fucking sucks.
I, and that's where I think that it, I've talked way too much, so I'm going to shut up now.
Well, I heard John Britovo's voice, and I want to hear John Britovo's voice some more.
Oh, no. See, a wise man always knows when to keep his mouth shut. See?
Well, stop being wise. And by the way, I have to send out thanks to one of your Texas compadres.
Yeah,
Texas T jumped in, and we're now down to 1085 to make a sure enough Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle.
Going for a miracle. Who don't need a miracle these days?
Lord, we do. No. We do.
Lord,
we so
need
do.
A miracle.
But I'm so glad you're here, John, because you're getting to enjoy. I mean, this is some 200 proof Schadenfreude going on in the Texas legislature right now.
Ain't it though? Ain't it?
And I am here for it.
Oh, baby, they're gonna impeach our attorney general. Ain't it about time?
It's not that they're going to impeach Ken Paxton. God knows he should be in prison by now. He was indicted during the Coolidge administration.
Yeah.
But it's not just that they're going to impeach him. It's that a Republican majority Texas legislature, Republicans are going to impeach a Republican.
Have they changed water suppliers there at the legislature in Texas? Because apparently there's something good in the water.
Well, it's a little bit.
I did a rant today, Robin, and that was exactly my point. It wasn't so much he needed to be impeached. That's the big news. It's hitting the news. But look who did it. It's the Republicans themselves. You know, every time I put out a video, you know, when it's got one of them, GOP is trending liars. GOP liars, cheats, and thieves. That's all they are. Any way they can do it, they're going to do it. That's how come Texas is red. We're trending blue. We're trying, but it's red.
You know, John, it blew my mind because I did not know it was the Texas House of Representatives. The Texas Republicans only have a 21 vote majority.
Yes,
it is 85-64 in the Texas House. That can change in one election cycle.
And we're hoping it's going to be this one. You know, we keep fighting this fight down there. We ain't going to give it up on this shit. This state used to be blue. But, yeah. You know, when the Republican Party took over, they've done just what every Republican Party's done in every damn state. Gerrymandered the shit out of it. You know, and that's the way it is. You know, except for in a national election. Shit. You know, it's pitiful the way they do business. But on the other hand, I am getting a tremendous feeling. I don't know where it's coming from, out of my butt, I guess. This is peaking with the American people. They're getting tired of this shit with the Republicans. You know, everything from voting rights to gay rights to abortion rights. Look what the hell Tommy Tuberville down there in Alabama is holding up, all sorts of promotions within the military, including the next Secretary of Defense. All because he's butthurt over abortion laws within the military. Kiss my fucking ass, really?
And John, there are some chickens coming home to roost here.
Oh, I hope so, baby.
Because all this barking and grunting about women's reproductive choice, and you know, I see women's reproductive choice and trans rights, perhaps wrongly, but I don't think so, in the same light. Because it comes from the same place of hatred and misogyny.
There's no reason for this.
But Alabama had its heart set on, because Nitwit Nero said it was going to be, they were all proud of the fact that Alabama was going to get the headquarters of Space Force. Mm. Well, that ain't happening now.
Nope.
It's going to stay right in Colorado where it belongs, where everybody who works in HQ for Space Force can be safe from discrimination, from misogynistic laws. And it is solely and entirely these are consequences.
Religious bigoted society who thinks the white
Christian
nation is the only fucking thing in this country. I got to quit that use that word. I'm pissed.
If y'all want, you know, just tell these maggot legislatures, you know, maggot away to your heart's content. But understand there will be repercussions from it. That's a shit ton of really good paying jobs in Huntsville, Alabama, that are not going to be there.
Oh, hell, DeSantis doing his best to run Disney out of Florida. Shit. Not so much business anymore, huh?
Yeah, so much for open for business, right?
Yeah.
But back to the Texas ledge, and again, like I said, thank you to Texas T for getting us down to 1085. And thank you, Emilio, for the $19 to make the deficit 1066. Oh, I do love history lovers. Emilio said, "Vive la France!" Oui, oui, vive la France! Allons, yeah, et cetera. Yeah.
What?
Whistle the Marseillaise or something. But you know, 1066, Battle of Hastings. Not a great day for the Anglo-Saxon kings of England. But I did want to mention this. Bernadette, we were talking about Social Security payments. Bernadette said, "Hey, Robin, in speaking with Social Security yesterday, I was informed because Social Security pays for the previous month in the current month, paying for May and June. June payments are already in the pipe and will go out. July will depend on the raising of the debt ceiling."
That's right. If everybody, anybody's worried about not getting their check next month, don't worry. You're going to get it. That money's already in the bank.
Yes.
July? I don't know. You know, I'm saying it's going to be. It's going to be there. And I don't know the answers. And I know, well, the 14th Amendment isn't the answer, as explained earlier. And I don't think Joe Biden's going to do that anyway. I'm a layman out here, and if anybody's going to get hurt, it's going to be the people at the bottom. Social Security, food stamps. These are things people at the bottom of the fucking ladder need every day to get by. So are we going to get hurt? Yeah, real bad. Real bad. I'm willing to take that risk. Fuck them. I don't want to give them a damn thing. They want to discuss the budget. Let's discuss the budget.
Y'all want to be grown-ups, be grown-ups.
If we give into this now, we're setting precedents for this. This is going to happen every damn time from now on. No, pay your damn bills. That's what everybody else out here in this country does.
That's kind of why I prefer the 14th Amendment approach. Let's break this once and for all.
In the 14th Amendment, I want to smack somebody with the Second Amendment. It says that the debt of the United States shall not be questioned. Shall not. Those words. Well, let's run over to the Second Amendment. What does it say? Right to bear arms. Shall not.
Yeah, be infringed. Congress shall make no law.
That's right. So the language is clear. Pay your damn bill. If we go into default, this is not good for anybody. But who is going to put us there?
Well,
Democrats and Joe Biden want to pay the bill. Let's pay the bill. You spent the money. And oh, by the way, let's don't talk about revenue income, because there's two ways to approach a deficit. You either cut what your spending is or you increase revenue. How about the tax cut Donnie Boy gave to all the wealthy shit? Let's take that back. Let's see if we could help a little bit more for the general fund.
Yeah.
We're not going to discuss that, because I'm the table.
The underlying question is, with each of these Republican schemes over the past 10, 12, 15 years, it makes me wonder when their own voters, the people who put them into office, the light bulb will go on over their head, or the lantern if they're old school, and it finally dawns on them who they're enabling. And what the folks they're enabling are doing that hurts their own fucking voters.
Well, the Republicans have always been known for selling one thing, and one thing only.
Snake oil?
Baby. Oh, let's fly a flag. We're going to play some music. The eagle is going to fly by, baby. I'm telling you this shit. Get you a big old slice of that fucking apple pie.
Yeah, but sooner or later...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sooner or later, even a Republican voter has got to latch onto that old adage, money talks and bullshit walks.
Who's rooting for your side down there? I guarantee you, unless you're getting lots of money to a Republican, they don't give two shits about your ass. They can wave the flag all they want.
If we repealed the Trump tax billionaire tax cut, maybe Har Har Crow wouldn't be able to buy one more Hitler painting.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I'm all broken up about that.
Buy one more yacht. Give me a break. But talking about who's going to suffer. Okay, no doubt. People down here at the bottom, we're going to suffer. Ain't going to get your check, something like that. No food stamps, and that's going to put everybody into a bind real fast. How much money do you think the stock market's going to lose? But in that coming out of my mouth, damn good and well, they play both sides up or down. So what does it matter to them? They're going to walk away with a boatload of money now or later. They'll scoop things up when it hits rock bottom, buy it up, and then make a boatload of money. I'm just tired of this fascist nation. This fascist Republican Party that we have that is just solely based around power and money. It's not for the general welfare of this country.
Compassion is past them, John.
Yes.
They want to live in a world of rugged individualists and lone wolves, never understanding the concept of the lone wolf is basically a death sentence for the wolf in question. Because, wolves are social animals. And
that way we started out as wolves. In their analogy. The rugged individualism, no, baby. We came together as a country together. We bound together to fight a war against the British to form a country. That's what it was built upon. Not the rugged individualism. Fuck you, I'll get your own. I got mine. No. To provide for the general welfare.
That's why I started the program, John, talking about Fappy Thomas's concurrence in the Sackett case that was announced yesterday, Sackett versus EPA.
Oh, about the definition of the word adjacent.
Well, there's that was the dumber majority opinion, but in his concurrence, he did what he did in Dobbs and called for cases to be brought to them with which they can basically dismantle the entire administrative state. The EPA can't enforce the Clean Water Act now as a result of the main thrust of that decision. But he wants to go after the Department of Labor. He wants to get rid of child labor laws. He wants to get rid of...
Does this sound like it's leading somewhere? I don't know, 1920, 1930?
Yeah, hell. It's leading to hell.
Everything that my generation, our generation, fought for, all that shit back during the 60s, environmental protections and civil rights and women, all that stuff, fuck, we don't need that. Let's go backwards. No. We fight for this shit or we lose this shit. I try to stress this every time I get my voice out there. It is we the people, and I know it sounds corny. We have the votes. We have the majority.
It's kind of like what you were talking about with regard to Texas.
Yes.
Texas should be not purple, but blue.
Maybe all our major cities are blue.
Blue.
Corpus is blue, but have you seen the district map of my district? It looks like a freaking octopus that goes up by Austin.
Yeah, I was thinking malaria germ, but okay.
What the fuck? It used to be just a block off. I swear there ought to be some federal regulation about how you could draw a map. At least give me a break.
Oh, dear.
You look at these things, and it's obvious as hell.
John, I do want to go back to the impeachment of Ken Paxton, because I can't get enough of that.
I know what I'm going
to say. It finally came to a head when... And this just tells you what the personalities are like involved here. And you're going to help me here. Because this is... there's a committee in Texas that handles ethics matters. And They voted unanimously to impeach his ass.
Three Republicans, two Democrats, unanimous vote. There was no disagreement within there.
And the way Texas law works, he is immediately suspended with that vote.
Yes.
And then it goes
unless
to the full
he
House.
Survives, unless he survives the vote tomorrow, which I don't think he will. Well, you know, his wife's out there, you know.
Well, his wife is a member of the Texas Senate, and the structure works largely along the lines of the federal frame. You know, impeachment in the House, trial in the Senate. But the most hilarious part out of all of this is it finally reached a head when Ken Paxton, who is an odious, self-important dick,
big time,
accused the Speaker of the Texas House of legislating while intoxicated. Do I have that right?
Yes. He used to be being drunk. I'm sorry. I'm talking on. I've got to eat this shit.
And Paxton has already had to settle a whistleblower lawsuit that wound up in a $3.3 million payout. And the speaker
that he wants the state to pay.
That he wants the state to pay. And the Republican Speaker of the House, whom Paxton accused of being a drunk, Dade Phelan, said, no. The taxpayer should not be on the hook for this one. That's that you pay that, Ken, because you did it.
Pocket, buddy. Yeah. I'm loving it. And, you know, the more of this in Texas and nationally, people are getting fed up with this bullshit. You know, the public opinion, I keep pointing to the point that, I don't know who it was, somebody put out a damn public opinion poll, and 78% of Americans do not want Trump to run. 78% of Americans do not want Trump to run. Within the Republican Party, 68% want Trump to run. When you stop to think about those numbers, 78% of Americans said no, but 68% of the Republicans say yes.
We want to own the libs.
Tell me the Republican Party's a whole lot smaller than what it tries to puff itself up to be. But again, the key, especially in presidential politics, is not... You know, it's the electoral count. It's not your vote. Just how your state goes, and then there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, got to fix this shit, Robin. That's why you're on the air, baby.
Yes, it is.
Y'all are out there. She's got a deficit on this damn fundraising here.
$1,085.
The entertainment and the education that you get while listening to this show, which I did myself. I kept my mouth shut during that whole conversation because, obviously, I'm listening to people who are educated in the system. I am not. I am a layman. I try my best, and I'm as educated as I can be. But we all have something to learn. And when you learn it somewhere like here, take a few minutes and take a dime or two out of your pocket, baby, and make sure that this stays an active voice in on the air. Because we all need voices like this.
And it's just been a rough 2 or 3 months.
Oh, baby. I'm going to be paying for last week for a while. But boy, howdy shit, Robin, did I have fun. It was great.
Tell me everything.
We had I got there on Friday. We had a bunch of, we had eight, I think, of us really that flew in. And spent the weekend up and down the Riverwalk, which if anybody has been to San Antonio on the Riverwalk, it is just gorgeous. It's the highlight of San Antonio, regardless of what you do. And, yes, a lot of time out by the pool discussing the events of the, you know, the day and everything else, but mainly just getting to know each other. Yeah,
bring me another
John
margarita.
And Bill and Matt Jesko out of North Carolina. Can't say enough nice things about those people. They were fantastic. Michael Johnson, he came in from Kansas City, a fantastic guy. He's from Kentucky. We call him KY.
You know, I tried that KY jelly on a biscuit one time, and it didn't have flavor for shit.
No flavor at all. Spreads real easy, though.
I don't know. You can't explain people in Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky jelly and that stuff called burgoo.
No, we're already thinking. We're already trying to put the plans together for next year. Make it a little more central, maybe Kansas City itself. And that way, it's for everybody to fly in.
And you know what? That's a great idea because, you know, not to make everything about me or anything, but Kansas City is a refuge city.
There you go, baby.
You know,
I'm going to be expecting. Look, you need to get all. What do they call it? Prettied up, dossied up. What do they call it?
Dolled up.
Gussied up. Yeah, dolled up. That's it. Because I'm working. I'm the internet company. You know, I live way out in the country. Or come out here and install some new equipment and shit so they can upgrade my ass so they can charge me more money. But I'm going to have the capability to have dual video live.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I can have an actual guest with their video on the show instead of that camera just sitting on my ass the whole time. And after a while, that just, you know.
Yeah, see, that's guy. I mean, that's a big reason why I don't do video, John. It's just I can't imagine it being interesting to just watch me run my mouth.
This camera, you know, an hour and a half every time, and it's you know, but I'm comfortable. I smoke my pipe, or I drink my tea, whatever I'm doing, and try. But it would be better if there was somebody else on camera, and then having a discussion with them, and also the people in the Discord room, being able to join the conversation, stuff like that. Trying to step it up.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I need to do something. Cash it up. We're going on 7 years on the air. So.
I know. I was mentioning earlier. This month is the 20th anniversary of me getting back behind a microphone.
Wow. I'm trying to catch up, but, slow down. Just take a year off, Bobby. A couple of years. Shit, I'll catch up. Yeah, it's not easy, is it, Robin?
No, it's not.
The camera thing is not the thing. It's trying to load your head what you're going to say.
I'm not complaining, and I'm not saying I'm running off anywhere or anything, but girl needs a vacation.
Oh Lord!
And quite honestly, I need a vacation that doesn't involve me packing up the rig. I just need to.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, the people who actually belong to SAG-AFTRA who do this kind of work. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? I mean, it's a gross example, and I'm not even yuck. But
that guy would be gross.
I think the Pineapple Prince. You know, Flush Limbaugh, who is busy in hell.
I hope.
I think he got something on the order of 6 weeks off a year. Because
a month and a half.
Because you just need to go away and do a long weekend here, do a week there, a couple of weeks there, and just kind of recharge, see different places, interact with different people.
Clean the glasses off. Get a different, you know.
Yeah, get your third eye squeegeed clean.
Yep. Yeah, that would be nice. I haven't, you know, since I started doing this, I haven't. I haven't taken a week off, but, you know, I've been on the air every week for just about seven years.
There is a possibility, and this is not geared, it's actually not a vacation per se. There's a possibility I may disappear for a couple of weeks in July. To go and recon a potential bug out site, in case I have to leave here, because that remains a fact of my life. I'm on a 1 year reprieve from the West Virginia legislature right now, up to and until the time that the courts, and there's that conversation again, tell these assholes to please stop it. What you're doing is unconstitutional. Fuck right off. And then, of course, they'll be braying and grunting and braying and barking and hooting in the streets. But
they don't make it easy, do they?
No. The bottom line is, I'm probably going to go out. I haven't seen my youngest daughter in years, and I'm probably going to go out to New Mexico and just check out like Taos and Santa Fe, and go down south and check out Las Cruces, and. See if it might be viable for me to move there if shit gets bad here.
Yeah.
And
it's sad that you have to consider that.
Yes, it breaks my heart. Every time I drive across the New River Gorge Bridge, especially this time of year, it's like, I can't imagine never seeing that again. I can't imagine looking at my children here and my beloved former spouse, my best friend, and saying, well, you know, it's been nice. I will never see you again.
They can come see you.
Yeah, they could.
World doesn't end, baby. World doesn't end. but it ain't going to make it easy on you either.
No.
You know, this whole fight, and you knew where you were stepping into, and I'm so proud of you, Robin, because you did it so openly. You know what I know.
Okay? Yes.
Me and you,
yes.
Right? Okay. Yes. And that was done in a different way, and it's still being done a different way. And I don't know how to say the things I want to say. Anyway, I just want you to know that I am proud, because to me, that would be the only way I could go. You're going to be you. And the only way to be you is to step forward and claim, I am me, baby.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
It's so funny, John, because once it started, it moved so fast.
It did.
It
caught me off guard.
It caught a lot of people off guard.
I had no idea, Robin. I had no idea at all.
Well, and I tried. See, there were months where I was living out here, but didn't say anything about it on air because I was afraid it would be the end of the program. I was afraid there would be a mass exodus, and shame on me for thinking.
Shame on you for thinking that. Because think about the group you talk to.
Yeah.
This is not a closed mind.
I mean,
we've
lost people. We've lost people.
Well,
but.
When I
finally reached the point of, I got to do this, my initial thought was, and this is what I said, I'm just going to take a little low dose of estrogen just to take the edge off. Just to take the edge off. And it took a month and a half, 2 months to finally find, God bless them, Planned Parenthood. And they said, no, this is the dose you need. I said, okay. And it was I'm sure it was entirely a placebo effect.
Right.
But from the moment I strapped on the first patch, an entire lifetime of panic and anxiety disorders went, okay, we're gone. We're out of here. You finally did what you were supposed to do. See ya. Good luck. Thanks for all the fish.
Added in you all the time.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to just stealth stuff, I'm just going to live on the down low and wait and see what it does. And to her credit, Annette said, I give you a month before you're all the way out. And
this is sounding awful familiar.
And really, Micah, does it? And so from there, it wasn't a month. It was 3 weeks. And then I kept everything on the down low relative to the broadcast and everything, and then all hell broke loose on New Year's Eve 2020. And I will forever be grateful to Miss Terry for how she helped me do that.
Everybody needs somebody to walk with.
She's been watching the Alabama legislature because, they've been doing some evil shit, but some great news out of Alabama. The What Is a Woman Act failed.
Oh, good.
And the drag...
The dumb title anyway.
Yeah, I know. And the drag ban failed. There is no bathroom ban. So maybe, just maybe, I can actually, she doesn't have to bug out and maybe I can go... But she's looking at this the same way I am. It's a one-year reprieve. And, maybe the maggots can learn, John.
I keep hoping that, Robin. I keep hoping it, but you know where I live. You know what street I live on. The signs are still up.
Oh, Lord, honey, yes.
The signs are still up. You ought to see the new one. It spells out Biden if you read it down on the edge. But at the top, it says, brain dead fools. Now, those first three letters are capitalized. You know what that says? BDF, Blue Dot Family.
Yes.
And the Biden thing, it goes through a bunch of bad shit about Biden or whatever. And then at the bottom it says, supported by BDFs. I said, hey, thanks for the advertisement, asshole. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I couldn't buy that if I wanted to.
They got the Let's Go Brandon signs all over the place. Guess what I got in the mail on Friday? No, wait, today's Friday. Thursday. Yesterday.
Yeah.
I got a package. and opened up. It was from Linda Gallup, one of our Blue Dot family members. And it's a great big, as a matter of fact, it's hanging right behind me because I had it on the show last night. And it reads, I don't know who Brandon is, but in big letters, fuck Trump. It just says that. I don't know who Brandon is, but fuck Trump. You want to play that? I don't play that game, though. I don't have signs and shit. Never had, even during the, I had one Biden sign in my yard, and that was it. I don't put signs and shit up. But I am going to take this flag outside because that one maggot down the street, butt boy, he comes by here every fucking day on his little four-wheel. And I can see him on my security camera when he leaves his house because I have a view all the way down the street. I'm going to wait for him to come out and come down here. I'm going to go out my front yard and just hold it up. Because he's got those Let's Go Brandon signs all over the place down there. It's just going to say, I don't know who Brandon is, but fuck Trump. So I'm going to fly that.
That's a beautiful thing. By the way, we have left 1066 and we are now in 1041. Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you so very much, Raymond in L.A.
Out in Los Angeles, baby.
Yes, thank you.
We love it.
Ton.
We love it.
Hey, and Robin.
That's what we love about this shit. Robin, we have our families are all over the country and all over the world, baby.
Yeah, and like Gertrude Stein said, friends are the family you make for yourself.
That's right.
And so when you say Blue Dot Family and I say Horn Family Community Congregation, I mean it, and you mean it.
We need to do that. We need to plan a Blue Horn Family meeting, a Blue Horn Family. Just get the Blue Dots together with the Horn Family and just get somewhere.
That would
we'll
be
plan
fantastic.
It. Don't worry.
Kansas, you know, Kansas City sounds really nice.
That's what everybody's going, because we've had three of these.
If I drove, I would get to stop and visit the campus of my first college that I haven't seen since 1983.
There you go. Road trip.
Probably stop and stop on the way at Cahokia, Illinois, and look at Cahokia Mounds again. Haven't seen that since 1983.
Because we've had enough of these in San Antonio, you know, and it's San Antonio because everybody thinks, well, okay, we're going to go to Texas. But I feel uncomfortable because people that do come, you know, like I said, they're flying in from North Carolina, from Kansas, from Chicago. You're paying a lot of money to be disappointed by a guy that looks like me. And that's the way I feel. Next time, let's go somewhere where John has to fly to. And where John will feel a little bit more comfortable. Hey, it cost me a bunch of money to get here too. Something like that, you know.
But you talk about family. This is so sweet. I just got a message from Texas D. If you go to New Mexico, I'm moving there. I have a spit of property in Santa Fe. I have friends from Albuquerque to Taos. If you decide to move, you'll have friends.
There you go, Robin.
And that just touches me so deeply because there are other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation already there.
Now, you and me both know, you for a different reason, me for another. When Donnie Boy got elected, and for those of you who may not know how John got extricated from his family, got tossed out on his ear, was the day after the election. I had three preachers in my family. Everybody's going to heaven, you know. All the chatter was, praise the Lord, Trump got voted. And I wrote these words. Oh, I bet God's up in heaven grabbing a little pussy today. And with those words, I was gone from my family. All of them, except two. That still treat me nice. But I found a new family, Robin, and you did too.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And it's the Horn family. It's the Blue Dot family. It's this congregation that we have built. Not in a church, baby. In our, I don't know where you're sitting at your desk in your car. I don't know where you're listening on your phone. But it binds us together because we all have the same goal, the same goals, the same dreams and wishes. Maybe not all exactly in step with each other, but in the right direction. And it's important to reinforce that amongst us, to encourage each other because voting time's coming, baby. And we need everybody to vote and to be involved in this shit, because that's the only way it really works for the people, is if the people are involved. But if the people feel like, what's the point? And I get that a lot. Well, what's the difference? We're gerrymandering shit. The difference is the numbers, baby. Even if we lose, each time we get a little closer. And that's how we're going to turn Texas blue.
I think it is.
On that note, if y'all got a few dimes in your pocket, and I know you got a few more, Robin needs to stay on the air, and I can't reiterate this enough. It is hard. Robin knows to keep on the air and pay your bills and everything. It's not easy to humble yourself and ask for it. But the only way Robin pays the bills is by y'all's kindness. So please, reach into your heart, baby. There's a few dimes sliding around in there somewhere. And Robin needs it, so put it on the table, baby. We need it.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Steve.
Two things. I don't know if you saw, but another Oath Keeper got sentenced to 8.5 years in prison.
Yes, the self-confessed idiot. I did see that. I wanted to get to it. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, and then there was also a thing where apparently Don Jr. was on some, I don't know, some website or some chat room or something where he said, God damn it, my computer,
wait,
I'm moving
really slow. What did he say?
He said, my computer is like,
something
I don't know what's
incriminating,
going on.
I hope.
Well, it's more funny than anything else. He said he apparently meant to talk about DeSantis, but the way it came out was he said Trump has the John Jr. said this. Trump has the charisma of a mortician and the energy that makes Jeb Bush look like an Olympian.
Oh boy.
No, he didn't mean to. He meant to say DeSantis, but
yes, baby,
same.
They call that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I actually think that I think the reason Tina Turner died when she did, and she went a few hours before before DeSantis had his thing. I think she was up. She was working with the goddess of irony to fuck it up. That's what I think. That's what I think.
And Leon Scum is having an absolute ketchup flinging hissy.
Oh,
he is so mad.
Gosh, you know, well, I just shed a tear. Oh, that's a tear of joy. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And I just got a note from Matt in San Francisco, subject line, leaving Las Vegas. Matt gets it. Oh, girl. I wish I could say don't you worry and you shouldn't plan for an exit, but you and I don't have that luxury. I have my exit plan as well. I can't imagine leaving the Bay Area, never crossing the Golden Gate Bridge that my grandfather was a laborer on, not seeing and feeling the cool fog rolling in. Sigh. But we gotta be real. When fascism comes, they eliminate our kind first, so I cannot afford to stand on the order of my going, but must go at once. Hopefully it won't come to that, but these fascists are very determined. They lie, and they cheat, and they steal, and they never tire. And Matt's right. I think if those plans aren't in place to some degree or another, one is not dealing very well with reality.
I mean, I'm in a relatively safe state, and I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. Micah, you have to, honey. I mean, look, here's a member of the state legislature of Kentucky stand. Now, this guy was elected by people and sent to their legislature. State Representative Josh Calloway. In a video he posted about the Target Pride butthurtery. He said, the fact is that LGBTQIA+ and gender ideology is spreading on social media as a social contagion and targeting confused children. I'm amazed at the hypocrisy of people who promote genital mutilation, chemical castration, and the murder of unborn babies, yet clutch their pearls when they read a description posted on YouTube by my video producer. Because the phrase that was posted on the YouTube video was, LGBTQI+ community is a disease.
A disease.
And see, really? that's how fascism rolls, y'all.
Jesus.
Little school children in Nazi Germany would say, ooh, teacher, what stinks? I think I smell Jew.
How much do you think it would take to push some of them maggots, a good portion of our country, right into 1930s Germany? In a heartbeat, baby.
Well, look, I mean, look at accelerationist Nazism. You know, the people who took down who took down the power grid in Moore County, North Carolina, for 40,000 people. They're ready. They want to go.
Yes, they're serious. You know, Robin, I say it often on my show, and it's almost become a – Trump is not trying to win an election. Trump is trying to raise an army.
Yes.
That's what he's doing.
For the Roman history nerds, go back and, you know, read a translation of Cicero's oration, De Catilina. He begins by saying, "How long, O Catiline, must we put up with your bullshit?"
There you go.
Because, I mean, he didn't say that. But
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. I'm translating it
Please.
From Latin. I'm translating it from Latin into the modern hillbilly.
I'm a layman.
Yeah, I'm translating it into hillbilly.
There you go.
Because Catiline was literally trying to raise an army to overthrow the Roman Republic. Because it hadn't gone into, you know, imperial status yet. And what they did is they went out and they beat his army and probably killed Catiline too. But he had raised an army that was on the outskirts of Rome.
Is that not
and you're absolutely right. Nitwit Nero is trying to raise an army.
Yes. Because if he's in this race, if he is a nominee, he won. That's it. We don't even have to hold the freaking election. Come on, we don't even have to vote. We already know the outcome. Donald Trump won. And if he's not declared the glorious leader, he will raise his army. That is what this is about. This is not a question of is he going to get elected. He's not trying to get elected. He wants to install himself. And if he is installed, he will be the last president we have.
Yes.
Republicans
yes.
will change. They'll change the freaking first words of the Constitution. If they
a long time ago, I said that, you know, I could imagine a nightmare future in which, you know, Gaius Julius Caesar was the, you know, he was never even emperor. But his nephew adopted his name. He went from Octavian to Octavian Caesar. Give it a couple of generations, and every ascendant to the imperial throne called himself Caesar. And then when the empire splits in two, there are co-rulers in the east and the west, and the head ruler is the Augustus, and the junior ruler is the Caesar. And then let a little more time go by, and in Germany they have a Kaiser. And in Russia, they have a czar, both coming from the same name. And, you know, give it a, let him become president one more time. And 300 years from now, the chief executive of the United States will simply be called the Donald.
What happened to Hitler before he became Germany's
chancellor?
Chancellor, yeah. He went to prison first.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. The distance between the beer hall putsch and his ascension to the chancellery is about 11 years.
Didn't take Hitler that long. But, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, it did. I mean, about 11 years. So
yes. I'm trying to recall. I read the book, The Life and Death of Adolf Hitler, years and years ago. Thickest book I ever read, I think. I use it as an analogy because Hitler, after World War I, made his first attempt at power, failed, went to prison, and that's where he built his power. Donald Trump became president, but lost on the vote. But in the interim, is trying to build the same kind of army that Hitler wanted, an army of hate, gay people, transgender people, you know, whatever it is. You're not Christian, white, but we're going to screw you over one way or the other. That's the nation they want. But America can't be that anymore.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible.
We are, and we are past we are past the ability to take this risk.
Yeah.
And if people don't watch this debt ceiling business and understand what the is going on and to act accordingly, we're done. We're toast.
It could very well happen, dear. I'm the kind of person that stands up and said, let's go. Let's go, baby. If we're going to do this shit, step up into it. I don't think we need to make no deals. I don't make deals with somebody who's threatening my ass. If there's going to be a fight, let's fight it out and let's see who wins. Sad thing is, what is that old Chinese saying, when elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. We're going to suffer, no doubt. But I don't know where this goes if we give in to this bullshit. And I don't know. Hold on. But as far as everybody's check next month, you're going to get that. We're going to have another month of of threatening shit on the news. Ooh, it's going to happen. July, June 5th. Now, here we go. We're going to all die. They're trying their best to scare the fuck out of everybody. And there's a lot to be afraid of. But I don't know. I'm one to hold my guns, baby.
Yeah, no kidding.
Gets me in trouble a lot of times. Like, my kids want me to sell my house. I ain't selling my house. I live on the river. I love this piece of property. I got 2 acres right here. I can just sit here and just flip them all the bird every time they drive by. You know, the asshole down the street, the guy that got all that PP money has now bought both fucking lots on each side of me.
Son of a...
Yeah. They've already over there clearing it. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do. They're going to do something.
It won't be
good.
That's
the way they're going to play this game. He owns up most of the property on this whole damn street. And now he has two more.
Good so, God.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a Pinchers movement, John. Yeah, sorry, I was talking to my dad, so I missed everything, guys. Sorry about that.
No, it sounds like an envelopment.
Yeah, I got security cameras that surround my property. Anything that happens around here, is on record. It's recorded.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned the river, and I know which river it is. It's, you know, the Nueces.
Nueces, yes.
And we know, and I know it means pecan. Yeah. And I was talking with my youngest the other day, and she was they're getting ready to move from Albuquerque, and she was talking about where they're going to go. And she said the one nice thing about the drive, it was just pecan trees all the way down.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the Spanish word for that.
Yes.
My buddy John Brittavo taught me.
Nueces.
Hey, John, did you say the guy bought those two properties with PPE money?
Yes,
Tell me again about those
laws.
Yeah, I'm sure he hates big government, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's one of the proud Americans. You drive right down the street, there's an American flag, there's the Texas flag, and there's the rebel flag. The stars and bars,
long ago, a dear friend who's no longer with us, Nick, gave that flag a proper name.
What proper name?
The Confederate battle flag?
Yeah.
The devil's diaper.
The devil's diaper. It's a Confederate flag. No, dumbass. Go look it up in a dictionary. It's not the Confederate flag, you asshole. That's the white supremacist bullshit flag they had in Tennessee. So, you know, but that's who they are. That's who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're proud of it. His son came down to me and asked me very nicely after a while to please take down the two videos that he promises he wasn't, you know, he said, we're never going to be friends, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm just asking you, please, would you take them down? So I did. And, but he knows I could put those two videos back up in a heartbeat and others that I have. And for those to reference, one of them is him blaring music from his house. And the name of the song is I'm an N-word hating man.
Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the kicker. His aunt is married to a black man and has biracial kids. Go ahead. Let's put that up on the internet. You want to tell your family who you are? Let's let them all know who the hell you are. And it hurt him. It hurt him big time. Got thrown out of a local bar down here, as a matter of fact. Not for that, because of abusing my donkey. That's the video got those people. Oh, look at there, man. You fucking with the guy's horse. You can't do that. You get the fuck out of here. Not for the N-word shit. No, they're all right with that. But he was harassing my donkey. So, yeah, they threw him out for that. So, yeah, he came down asking me real nice. So I took it down. I'm waiting. But that's not the only ammunition I have. Literally or figuratively. This is my land. This is my property. Do they think they're redneck down there with their shit? Cross my fucking property line.
You're going to find out how red is.
There you go, baby. Yeah.
You'll see what a liberal redneck does.
Yeah, I already have probable cause. I have enough video of threatening shit going on right outside my fence. I say, it's your property, fuck you, and just peel out in the grass in front of my fucking place or some shit. The evidence for provocation and shit has already been well established. So, cross my line.
Yeah, well, you stay safe, you hear?
I am. I'm a peaceful, loving guy, Robin.
Well, I know that.
Yes. Till you fuck with me.
Don't mess with Texas.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, and you're no different.
Listen, y'all, I need to get out. My computer is... I don't even know if I'm actually muted or unmuted at this point. Things
are you're not unmuted, and I know how to fix it too quick. Do you have a hammer?
On an...
Professive maintenance always works.
Always works.
Sledgehammer is the best fashion.
Is making everything really slow, and I can't figure out what it is, so I have to restart. So.
Oh, yucky. Well, I got to get out of here, too, because the iPad is near dead. But I wanted.
Robin, I'm glad I jumped in here, baby.
I'm so glad you did too. I love it when you come by, John. I just enjoy our conversation so much. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the program, but I found, and I don't know if Claire's still. Claire may have skipped off to bed by now, but
what happened?
I found an entire brisket untrimmed for only $56.55.
You found it. On the street corner, some guy opening his coat and going,
hey, you want a brisket?
You want a brisket?
Hey, chick, the first one's
nowadays,
free.
That's freaking cheap.
Yeah, it is. And it was a big one, too.
A big one. Everybody likes
Robin, you have to be more careful these days with people, with guys coming up to you opening their overcoats.
Yeah, watch that. Psst.
Thank you, Christopher. I'll bear that in mind.
Hey,
oh, my God. But no,
I've been cooking up good, baby.
I hope it doesn't rain on Sunday. But you know, I really need to post some barbecue porn.
Damn it, Robin! It's gonna rain here Monday. It's gonna rain Monday and Tuesday. You know why this is really pissing me off? We've had really good weather. I'll make this real quick. John's lawnmower broke down a long time ago. Well, how long? Fucking grass is out of control. John's been trying to fix it, won't fix it, ain't fix it. John finally got tired yesterday, going to Home Depot, buy me a new lawn tractor. Got me one of those nice John Deere, sit on top, zero turn, you know, 48-inch cut. Yeah. Come on, I bought that trailer. Come on, let's go. Oh, we won't have it assembled until Tuesday. What?
Fuck a duck.
I'm getting my brand new John Deere, zero turn, zippity-doo-dah mower, and it's going to be raining.
I know. Yeah, mine's been running kind of weird too, and I'm just dreading.
Sit under the house with it, with the engine on, just revving it up, going back and forth.
I know. Ring.
Robin, I love you.
Don't drive that thing.
Take care of yourself,
John. Don't you dare drive that thing like a go kart.
Has not donated yet. Shame on you. Get the change out of your pocket and get it on there on here. Robin needs a little help with that shit.
And the notifications have been really freaking slow and weird this evening, so let me check back. I can at least check on my phone and find out if anything was... Now, Raymond, you were the last person to kick in. Thank you, Raymond. All the challenges, thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island, and thank you to Matt in San Francisco, and thank you to our anonymous Have a Show on Me challenge meter, and thanks to everybody who jumped in and met the challenge. We're at 10:41. And that means we brought it down by $800 this evening. And that's amazing.
That is amazing, Robin.
And a little more of that, and, well, we got a chance of finishing May to the good. John, like I said, stay safe down there. I know you will, but I can't help saying it.
You do the same up there, baby.
I'm trying. I am sure enough trying.
You know what I'd do? What? You know what you do? you put the damn smile on your face and give the sucker away tomorrow. Don't let them fuck with your inner you, baby.
No, absolutely.
And look at them and say, fuck you.
It's funny, I smile a hell of a lot more in the last 3 years.
It's because your heart is happier, baby. Because it's who you are.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it all the time. You can hear it in your voice all the time. Shit, listen to my voice. I'm going downhill, buddy. I'm telling you.
But, you know, I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Take a moment and think about why the holiday exists.
I like to say, Robin, that this holiday is not for who's here.
It's for who ain't.
Not here. Yeah. And a lot of veterans will understand exactly what I do. When you see a veteran, there will be people around him you will not see. There are names in his head that you will not know. So treat him kindly.
Yeah. Up at the cemetery, which I can see from our kitchen window in the sunrise every morning.
Indeed.
Every veteran's grave will have an American flag on it. And one of those veterans' graves is my uncle, who died fighting fascism.
There you go, baby.
How can the rest of us do anything less? Honor them. And honor them by continuing their fight, because fascism is here in America. And it's the same fascism the world over. And they're beating people now. You know, fascism is alive and well now in, of all places, Italy. They've got an actual, no kidding, fascist government. And
democracy lives as long as we fight for it, baby. We keep fighting for it, we lose it.
And a Brazilian woman was beaten nearly to death in Milan in the last few days. And it was the fascists who did it. So, you know, a word to the wise is sufficient. But have a great weekend, everybody. The iPad's about to die, so I've got to disconnect from the group. Thank you, everyone. It's been a fantastic conversation this evening. Y'all are amazing, and you always are. Thanks for all the emails and the support. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. God, one of the things I got to do, I got to get a new battery in this iPad. This is ridiculous. But thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Y'all were great this evening. And who knows, maybe the overnight crew will jump in and we won't be at 1341 come Monday. Because there will be a show Monday. I thought about taking it off, but if I take Monday off, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything productive with it. No. I'll be here if y'all want to be here. Because I don't do days off. It's just how it is. Not very many, that is, unless something breaks or screws up or the internet dies, and the power's off, those kind of things. We've managed to keep that from happening, and I hope we so continue. Thank you, though. Thank you. And thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve and Roger. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Please, 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 please like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment. Just a word or two, even. Because it elevates the visibility of the program. And we're seeing results. And tell your friends and neighbors. I put the program up on my Facebook page. Share the program. It makes a big difference. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people. I know the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you can, if you need it, if you qualify. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. They are a diseased lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And if someone comes burbling down the sidewalk screaming about degenerates or communism, tell Lauren Bobblehead Boebert to piss off and maybe quit taking her soon-to-be ex-husband's side when he starts abusing their children. Yeah, maybe. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Later.